InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
It is Tuesday, December 30th, 2025. I'm your host, Alex Jones. And General Flynn has issued an emergency letter that I've reposted on X at Real Alex Jones to President Trump, saying what everybody else is saying, but very eloquently, that if President Trump does not get the right people in the Justice Department to indict the deep state, this country is through, he's through, and they're going to come after all of us. They have committed such massive crime everywhere. Pam Bondi, under huge pressure, is pledging that prosecutions are imminent of the Somali fraud. And it's being called Somali fraud. And I'm not here to defend the Somalis, but they were chosen as a tribal bagman group because they basically vote in unison 99% and come from a culture of serious piracy, slavery, and corruption. So they're the perfect bagman for the Democrats. But make no mistake, and it's come out. In California, with the $70-plus billion in welfare fraud in the last couple of years, and the $24 billion, that's what it is so far, it's growing. The mainstream media is behind, saying $9 billion. It's the Democrat leadership. Now, that doesn't give a pass to the Somalis, but to call it Somali fraud is deceptive. No, this goes all the way to the top. And you go through the Democrat states, they've taken surpluses and put the states deep into debt, as they rob them blind, which the globalists above them at BlackRock want, so the country finally goes bankrupt. And yeah, there's just whole pages of new videos a day of Somalis celebrating. You're our slaves, you dumb Americans, you black Americans, white Americans, all of you. You go work while I stay at home and drive my Porsche. And you watch this, you go, this makes no sense. In that tribal culture, not all the tribes are like that in Africa. Most of them aren't, actually. Different cultures. I've studied it. Fascinating. But the Somalis are known for wild, devilish arrogance and just in your face. I remember I did videos exposing them like decades ago, and they would come on my ex account or others and just go, you're damn right we're evil. You're damn right we're going to get your ass. You're damn right we're slave masters. You're damn right. And I mean, they put a new level of chutzpah or bravado or arrogance or hubris. So they're very easy to hate on average. And I don't think you can have a group of people that you can say culturally is more screwed up, other than gypsies. There's different types of gypsies. You've got the Irish gypsies, the Pikeys, and, you know, their crime and stuff that's, you know, kind of lightweight. But you have the Romanov, whose culture is to maim one of their children with acid or cut one of their hands off so they can beg better. The culture is to rob you. The culture is to lie to you. And then you've got, you know, universities everywhere teaching that they're the greatest culture and all this. No, there are some cultures that are predatory. Where do you get the term thug? Do you know? From a tribe in India called the Thuggee, or a cult. It's a tribe. And they befriend you, they manipulate you, they get you, and they strangle you, and then bury your body out in the woods and rob everything you've got. And you see it fictionalized in Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom. That's the Thuggee he's fighting in that. But in India, the Thuggee are hated. But then liberals are like, oh, don't talk about Thuggee, they're Indian. What the hell are you talking about? It's a murdering gang. The Thuggee are bad. Where do you get the term booby? You know what a booby is? That's the Asian Chinese name for the Muslim pirates robbing everybody the last 1,000 years in the Pacific. Boobies, Thuggee, Somalis, they are armies of evil. challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesshow.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
The thuggy. The gypsies. The Somalis are pirate, slave, Satan-worshipping cults. It's in the mainline history books. The thuggy for thousands of years, not just in India, but along the Silk Road into the Middle East, would trick travelers and others off the road and then strangle you, holding all the blood, and then cut your head off to Kali and dump it into bowls mixed with milk, where tens of thousands of rats would then drink the blood and the milk. Years ago, even on PBS, they were talking about how cute it was, and it showed how they would mix blood, not of humans, but other things in the huge vats with the just thousands of rats drinking the milk above Kali. If you're a new listener, you're like, come on. No, seriously. Look up, where does the term, just type it into search engine, where does the term thug come from? From the thuggy. And in international, different cultural, anthropological studies all over the West now, they teach that the thuggy are good. You don't want to be racist against the Hindus or Indians. No, the Indians hate the thuggy. They're still there today. And the Somalis are hated all over that area of Africa for the thousands of years slaving other Africans and selling them to the Arabs. Their culture is robbing and stealing and enslaving. Were you guys actually able to find this? I'll never forget it. It was even on PBS like 30 years ago. I saw it. It was this Kali statue, like 60 feet tall, and blood and milk. And this isn't the same. Just like literally tens of thousands of rats running up to drink it. I mean, who comes up with that? Get off screen, please. I said get it, but just, I don't want to see it. You may find the one with the blood. I'm about to throw up just for the memory. So you need to understand that all cultures are not the same. And it's so healthy, my first story, that Trump is just screw these people. Now, obviously, there are some that are backslidden Somalis. They're not following the culture that we're the ruling race, we're the ruling class, everyone else is slaves. The thousands of videos of Somalis celebrating that we're the rulers, we're robbing you, you better go make us money, you better go take care of us. And you see these videos, people think they're a joke. They're all serious. And then we've got members of parliament. I never played that clip yesterday. Fine, I don't want to play it in a minute. Members of parliament in the UK saying, Islam has already conquered all these cities in the UK. Sure, we will conquer the entire country. And they will all submit to us, and they will all pay us taxes, and our women are ours. Clip after clip after clip. And you're like, what is this? This is barbarous parts of the world. These are countries that aren't even countries. They're failed states with gangs, with warlords. And they come here, and they team up with the Democrats and the liberals and the labor parties to undermine and collapse the country. So political correctness is a suicide pact. And lifting the curse of everyone being bullied, lifting the curse of us afraid to stand up for ourselves, no matter what color we are, for Western values and freedom, is key. So when Trump came out a few weeks ago and said, Ilhan Omar should leave, she hates this country so much, and, you know, quite frankly, most of these Somalis are pledge allegiance to Somalia, they openly say they don't like America, then you need to go the hell back to your country. Half of them, in an ICE analysis they did last week, are here completely illegally and lied on their forms. Just deport them all. And it's a good start for us to learn to have instincts and territorialism and survival instincts and life force. And quite frankly, killer instinct. And I don't mean to kill people, but I mean you got to have a killer instinct in life. Whether you want to, you know, be successful with women, business, anything. Get what you want, do it legally and lawfully, but be strong and stand up for yourself. Because the whole world's barbarous. And because of our Christian ethos that is great, it's been twisted to lay down and be a slave. And that is not the spirit we've been given. Be as bold as a lion. So Bondi's all panicking. And I can tell you, this is just a fact. I have it from, you name it, in the Justice Department, White House, every level, FBI, you name it. Many sources are public. Bondi just does her hair, goes to the spa, is in D.C. 3 days a week, does Fox News hits, and lays out at the beach. Well, that's fine. You're not a warrior, sweetheart. You need to go away. Cash Patel is a little Hollywood wannabe star, twinkle toes around with his girlfriend, flying around on the giant FBI jet. He's happier than a pig, and you know what? He's not thinking about the destiny of this country. He needs to go. Bongino was asked to do things he knew were wrong. He followed the orders, but got out of there. So, to his credit, I don't think he'll be able to rehabilitate himself. He's finally resurfaced, criticizing the FBI and the DOJ. A day late, a dollar short, Bongino. Because at the critical time, when you should just go public with everything, you still followed orders. That's not loyalty to the Republic. Though I'll say you're the best house in a bad neighborhood of that group. And you have Ed Martin totally isolated with the thumb of Todd Blanche on him. Todd Blanche, a Democrat lawyer, is the real head of the DOJ. And that goes down to Trump yet again. Blanche represented him in a bunch of criminal cases, had one success because of the judge doing the right thing in Florida, throwing out the Mar-a-Lago raid stuff. That wasn't Todd Blanche. And because of that one success, Trump has that blind spot because he likes Todd Blanche, and Todd Blanche is on record sabotaging everything. And General Flynn has come out in a letter I'm going to read and said, if you don't take action now, and he knows how to talk to Trump because Trump cares about the country, but it sees it tied to his own legacy. He says, your legacy will be one of ashes. Yeah, and they are going to indict your entire family. I've looked at all the Bitcoin deals they've done. Trump lost half his wealth in this fight. Everything he's doing is legal. It's not unethical. They don't care. The way this has all been done, they're going to indict Don, your whole family, you. I mean, you know, they because before with Russiagate, Ukrainegate, and all that stuff, they had nothing. There was nothing there. We knew all the facts. The way they can misrepresent Bitcoin and these deals you've made and stuff you've done, they got stuff now to burn your ass. And so he's surrounded by all these yes men up there in D.C. And he's pissed off. You know, it comes out on hot mics and from my sources that he's like, indict, indict, indict. Great. And they say, well, sir, it'll be embarrassing if you fire Bondi and fire Blanche. What's embarrassing is lack of action. You know, I'm serious when I say this. I want to go to Minnesota and just show this stuff myself because it needs to be done. But first, I just need to go ahead and go to D.C. I need to announce a date in the next few weeks, get a few thousand people up there at the White House, pick a date Trump's going to be there, and just bullhorn the White House because I can go have dinner at the White House. I can get on the phone with Trump. I've been invited to Mar-a-Lago, you know, the event where Flynn was honored. They were going to honor me. You know, Trump's going to pat you on the head. I'm not interested in that. And you tell Trump something privately, it doesn't really connect half the time. He's so much going on. Let me tell you, we get 5,000 people around the White House bullhorning, demanding indictments of the deep state. That'll get Trump's attention. So, I'm just, so on one hand, it's good for him to say, we're not bullied, we're not politically correct, we're not under the spell of political correctness, we're breaking that. That's great. So much good that's happening on so many fronts. It would take hours. But Flynn's right. If we don't get the indictments, and as soon as they really start, the deep state won't be arrogant anymore and will run for the hills. But the fact that they've gone in with these judges and the corrupt system and ended these indictments on Comey and Letitia James just emboldens this permanent criminal class that is the lawyers and the judiciary. And Bukele came out, you know, a year ago and gave Trump advice. He said, at the end of the election, he said, you can't just arrest the criminals, the terrorists, and the fraudsters. You've got to disband the criminal judiciary and put your people in. People say, well, that's tyranny. No, it's not. Trump can't disband the Supreme Court. That's co-equal. All the other federal courts are Article III created by Congress. And Thomas Jefferson, when the previous president to him, Adams, set it up to where they were a tyranny, he just did the Judiciary Act of, 1802 and fired every one of them and then brought in new judges. You have to do that. You have to do that. You have to do it now. This is a war. And yeah, Trump's way better than 8 years ago. And we got some good out of it, but it's not enough. We need total action. I know all of you know this. I'm here talking about what pressure do we bring to bear on this? Because Trump thinks that campaigning and flying around and doing rallies is going to help win the midterms. That'll move the needle a couple points. Indictments of the globalist, indictments of Tim Walz, indictments of Ilhan Omar. An Ilhan Omar indictment and her being perp walked. 10 points. Tim Walz, 10 points. Now, you have to understand how this works in the public memory. Let's say Trump's at 39 in the average poll. That's about right, both indexes. So, okay, you hit Walz, you get up to 49. You hit Ilhan Omar, you're at 59. Remember, he was at 60-something at the peak of Doge just 3 months in. Then I got sabotaged. Now, this goes up and down in public memory. But you keep doing those, you'll be up at 70%. We won't just win the midterms. We'll flood, gain 5-6 seats in the Senate, 30-40 seats in the House. You got to go scorched earth and just indict. This is a no-brainer, and I'm all in. So that's where we are. And then I look at the people and the organizations that are hurting the Trump administration and moving the needle down in our numbers and like submarines firing torpedoes at our operations, and we all know who they are. And they got these carefully crafted, foreign-run operations by the same usual suspects that ran the dossier and Crossfire Hurricane, all of it, illegally out of the UK. It's the same MO, same people, same operatives, same thing again. But if the left launches it, we don't buy it. But if it's one of our former Trump supporters, then we buy it. I mean, it's just Benedict Arnold behavior, folks. I got the number now. I've done the analysis. I wasn't focused on it, and I'm mad that I wasn't once I turned my attention to it because the claims got so insane. I was like, report pops out in my brain. And I'll be proven right, like the poison shots, like the Q thing being a fraud, like Trump being the guy that got convinced by the CIA to kill the Epstein investigation, which they now admit. And I was, oh, you're selling out Trump. Oh, you're being mean. Oh, you're, and I'm just right over and over again because this is what I do. This is all I do. In fact, I have to pray every night, God, will you just let me not think about work and wargame this so that I'm not having 100 dreams about fighting the globalist and analyzing stuff, because then a lot of these intense dreams about politics and analysis and all this stuff, and then I'll wake up every 30 minutes for another dream and another dream, because I go to bed in instant REM sleep. I go to bed for an hour, say at midnight, and I wake up in an hour, and I've got sleep all over my eyes. That means, you know, rapid eye movement. I go right into REM now. This has only been happening the last few years. And then I lay back down. I get a whole – it's crazy, folks. I mean, my I don't want to say my sleep is torture. It's not like I'm not getting sleep because I feel bad about myself. It's the opposite. I'm getting super ultra-intense sleep that is just – defies logic and science. I mean, it is – my dreams now are just like – and – so, and I think it's happening to a lot of you, too, because there's a lot of stuff going on, the 5G, all of it's doing a lot of crazy stuff. We're going through some big changes right now, but I've kind of thrown out some of what's coming up. We got some big guests today. The Somali situation is just unbelievable. They're finding it all over the country. And again, they're just the bag man. I'm not defending them, but if you only blame them, they're a pirate criminal group. At least their tribal leaders are. It's tribe. They tell you that. It's a mafia. We think La Cosa Nostra is. It's a tribe. Not just Italians. It's Sicilians. And that's like a mild bad guys compared to this. But they're the bag men for the Democrats. So we've got all that. We've got all over the U.S., all over Europe, judges releasing people that kidnap little kids and murder them. And they let them out to murder again. And then now there's this new thing all over Europe, all over the U.S. It's the same policies where they put the murderers, people that kidnap girls, rape them, blow their heads off. They put them on the public safety boards of the state as the advisors and the good guys. It's all about rubbing your face in it, seeing how much they can get away with, whether it's Sweden or whether it's Oregon, whether it's London or whether it's Dallas. And it's all a unified formula. I've just got stuff so horrible right here. We're going to be getting to it. But these guys will grab your daughter off your front porch. They'll take her. They'll rape her. They'll kill her. He'll be out in 5 years to do it again. And the judges and the Soros DAs that are doing this know exactly what they're doing, and it's just a carpet bombing of the country. Total war. It's undeclared war. It's fifth generational warfare. So despite all of Trump's imperfections, and Lord knows we all got them, at least we now know he has entered the don't give a F moment. When they try to guilt him about, oh, you're being mean to the Somalis. Somebody needs to really brief him on the Somali leadership, the tribe Ilhan Omar's from, the ruling slaver pirate family. That's why they call themselves royal. And how they literally in Somalia teach that they're not black and that blacks are subhuman. And blacks figure this out. Black Americans, the real Americans that are black, they get around the Somalis. They hate their guts. I got tons of videos of black people that are like, you don't understand. These Somalis won't even talk to us. They tell us, yeah, because for over 1,400 years for Muhammad, they've been selling your ass as slaves. While the media tells you white people invented slavery. Everybody's been doing it, folks. But the point is they are still doing it. Ilhan Omar needs to pay some reparations to Kenyan slaves they grab. Did you know that? Because with her, you can go back to her granddaddy and her daddy. I mean, she's currently got money from that. It's not reparations when you actually got the money yourself and got it from your daddy. That's stolen. I'm all for reparations from the Somali ruling class to Africans. They've been robbing and enslaving. I mean, seriously, these people shake their finger at white people everywhere. Reporters go in Minnesota and other places, and they come show all these empty buildings, all this fraud. The Somalis come out and say, you white, you should not be here. You go. This is not your town. Because they're tribal, but they hate everybody, folks. Because they're as primitive as you can get, and it's a culture of being predators. So to them, they celebrate being predators. like the gypsies, like the thuggies, like the Somalis. That it's a gang. And I know you know that, but just understand that. And it's not weird to have a tribe or a race of people be a gang. That's how the world used to work. That's barbarism. We get the term barbarian. But not all barbarians had these rules. When the Romans tried to take over Germany for 300 years, finally Julius Caesar was able to, 300 years, they said, nope, slavery is illegal here. If you cheat on your wife, they'll cut your head off. Women have equal rights and are seen as equal to men but have their space and are seen as oracles. I mean, same with the Vikings and stuff. It was, but then also, though, when the man died, if he was a chief, then your whole family stabs each other to death and they sit you on a boat and burn you to death. So, and like old men in the Vikings and also the German culture would say, all right, well, I have trouble walking now. I'm a problem. And they'd ask their sons, let's go out and have a party, and I want you all to stab me to death. Because I want to die like a man. And the Romans would just go watch them. Like sometimes they, you know, say, all right, I want the toughest men in the village. Give me a sword. I'm going to fight to the death. And sometimes the old man kill a couple of them while they're done. He's like, I'm going to fight, die. Let's just do it. I mean, you know, that's cultures are different, the point. Okay? So let's go to Trump here. And this is Trump getting more extreme. That's good. See, the globalists are extreme. The left's extreme. They say whites are inherently evil. Get rid of whites. Exterminate us. America sucks. All this crap. It's not about hating anybody. It's about saying, you hate us? Well, fuck you. We're done lying down, no matter what color we are. We're Americans. We choose the West. We choose this system. It's an idea. That's what unifies us. Not your crap. And you know what? The West is superior. This idea is superior. And start being proud of ourselves again as Westerners. And tell people, you can come adopt it. You can join the team if you want in a meritocracy. But you want to give us your guilt crap and your communist crap? Get the hell out of here. No more being bullied. The spell is broken. Here's Trump.
The mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, is saying that he's actually proud to have the largest Somali community in the country and his police chief.
Well, then he's a fool. I wouldn't be proud to have the largest Somalian. Look at their nation. Look how bad their nation is. It's not even a nation. It's just people walking around killing each other. These Somalians have taken billions of dollars out of our country. They have a representative, Ilhan Omar, who they say married her brother. It's a fraud. She tries to deny it now, but you can't really deny it because, you know, it just happened. They have destroyed Minnesota, that beautiful land, that beautiful state. It's a hellhole right now. And the Somalians should be out of here. And all they do is complain, complain, complain. You have her. She's always talking about the Constitution provides me with, go back to your own country and figure out your Constitution.
That's right. Don't come from your failed hellhole that you, your family sat on, and then shake your finger at us. We got the best record in history. Don't mean we're perfect either, but damn it, we can see we're better than your ass. So don't you come around here telling us to kiss your ugly ass anymore. Get out of the country. And she said that recently. She said, maybe I will just leave. I'll go live wherever I want. Yeah, I guess you'll go suck off whoever you want, you frickin' leech. We'll be right back with Massive News. Stay with us. Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexshowstore.com. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support. Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support for so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com. We have a new product in at the AlexJonesStore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity, with no letdown, and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite like this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Yeah, tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, I will be hosting a New Year's special with a whole bunch of amazing informative guests right through past midnight Central time. And then I'm going to drive home and sleep about 4 hours and get back up and do it all again in the InfoWar. All right, let me finish up with the Somalia situation. I mean, I could do all day on this because it's really captured people's attention. It's a major part of the enemy wall being blown up so we can pour through and expose the corruption and demand action and demand mass indictments, not just of the Somali bagmen, but of the Democrat controllers above them. And, again, they're using other groups as fronts, the homeless, the illegal aliens in general. But in the case of the Hispanics and people, they get signed up by the Democrat law firms and NGOs. They don't even really get the money. They're just told, you're going to go work here. You're going to give us part of your paycheck. And then we're going to sign you up for all these other things. And the money goes into the Democrats. They literally, because I've studied it with the experts, the Hispanics don't even really siphon off much With the Somalis, credit to them, they demand about 30-40% to themselves with the deals with Democrats. But they farm the homeless. That's why, you know, they're spending what 4,000% more than we were just 20 years ago on homeless. And it's worse than ever. You have all these NGOs that farm them and get them disabilities and all these checks, and then they steal most of it. They're farming illegal aliens as a permanent underclass. They're farming homeless, and they're farming the Somalis. This is what they do. So I mentioned these clips. Let me play them. Here's Ilhan Omar saying, oh, yeah, funny, make me leave. She came here under fraud. She married her brother. You can be denaturalized for fraud. Ship her ass back. Or better yet, indict her. The evidence is overwhelming. She went from almost no wealth to $30 million just since she got into Congress. That is a 3,500% increase. You know, she got here with $1 million of stolen loot, you know, from daddy, but that wasn't much. Now it's $30 million in just a few years, and there's more guaranteed. And Tim Walz, all of them, these are total crooks. And then that Dubs tells to a Somali girl saying, we can do whatever we want. This is stolen land. That's what's taught. America's stolen. We're bad. No, we didn't steal. Westerners didn't steal America. We settled it. Settlers are not immigrants. Settlers are not refugees. Settlers came here, and all the different Native American tribes hated each other and were constantly killing each other, just like we were doing in Europe to each other previously. And they would come and say on record, that happened at all the first settlements, they'd say, we'll work with you, but if you don't help us go kill our neighbors and take their land, we're going to kill you. And at some of the first settlements, they wiped everybody out before the Mayflower. Look it up in Virginia. Because they're like, no, we're Christians. We're not going to kill your other tribe. Okay, you're dead. And I'm not attacking Native Americans, folks. It's just we all act the same. It's the same stuff. Okay, just stop. Yeah, I'm part Native American. I know the history. And it's just a fact. So stop being naive. There were some Native tribes that were nice and sweet. They had to live out in the desert in the middle of nowhere at a subsistence level. Anywhere nice with forest or plains or any good stuff and good game, they were big, mean Native Americans, and they killed everybody but their tribe. Ever heard of the Comanches? Hollywood obsessed on Apaches because that was later battles, but the Apaches were cream puffs compared to the Comanches. Do you know what the Comanches did to the other Native Americans? And to the white people? They like to cut your eyelids off and bury you facing the sun in a red ant bed. They like to haul you up with big antler hooks into your guts and let you hang for 4 or 5 days and die as their entertainment. And I'm not demonizing, I'm just saying, stop acting like white people are the only people that have done crap like this. We're humans. We do the same stuff. We have the same ability to do incredible good things, the same ability to act like a bunch of animals. And whenever somebody tells you, because you're white or you're Western or you're Christian, that you've got some background, you're bad, it's been Christians and white people that did all the innovations to stop slavery, all the innovations of private property, all the innovations of women having freedom, all the innovations. Because of Christianity. And I am not going to sit here and apologize to the world for the West being superior. The West is the best, and it'll do the rest. To quote Jim Morrison. All right, go to Ilhan, go to this young girl, go to Tim Walz. Again, he says the majority of crime is white people. Well, if white people are 70% of the population, though most of them old, so assume they'll be the minority. And then you look at crime statistics around the country, about half the time when someone's black or Hispanic, they say they're white. You remove that fraud, whites commit about 30% of the crime. If you add that fraud in, it's about 49%. And I'm not trying to demonize black people. The reason we have to cover this is it is a tiny minority of black people, about 14 to 25 black males, that as for violent crime, commit about 40% of it. And they're only like 2 or 3% of the population of that age group. Most black folks aren't involved. It's a tiny group. You got to address it. You got to deal with it. You got to stop it. But the reason I have to always go over those numbers is because you see it constantly. White people commit the majority of crime. White people are the scourge. White people are doing the carjacking and the robbing and the murdering. And it's not true. But Tim Walz said it again. But in a way, it's true because it is old white men and old white women like Nancy Pelosi and Tim Walz and young white men or younger like Governor Newsom. And then all the rest of the black congressmen, Democrats, they're all just a bunch of crooks, okay? But we do have a big white criminal problem. And a lot of them are Jewish. Let's just be clear about that, too. They consider themselves white. But, yeah, there's a big problem. So it is true that at the top, we have a white crime problem. But statistically, white people commit the lowest level of crime after who? Who? Oriental Asians. Because you can call Indians Asian, but they have a higher crime rate than whites on average. It's not the highest, but it's high for fraud and stuff like that. Not really violence. Everybody knows that. There's a proclivity in there. Nothing like the Somalis. But no, it's Chinese and Japanese particularly. Japanese have the lowest crime rate in the world, in Japan, anywhere they are. It basically doesn't exist. When there is a disaster in Japan, crime goes to zero. Everywhere else, when things get bad, crime goes up, right? A disaster, it goes down with the Japanese. So they have a sense of honor. If they're embarrassed by something they did, they go home and slit their guts open. That's a little extreme, but you gotta hand it to them. They're about their honor. I got two things, my word and my balls. I ain't breaking them for no one. The Chinese in the West are engaged in some fraud, but still statistically low. Vietnamese, almost like a Japanese, almost non-existent fraud with Vietnamese. We had a little fun with them in Vietnam, didn't we? Pretty tough people. Let's say it, very stoic, very honorable. South Koreans. If you got to say of Oriental Asians, the Chinese are the most corrupt. Still on par with a white European. Asians have the lowest level of crime, then whites, then Hispanics, then blacks. It's a fact. So when Tim Walz sits there and tells you this, he's a liar. But don't worry, he is a crook. He is the bad white man. Let's go to those clips.
I mean, I have no worry. I don't know how they take away my citizenship and like deport me, but I don't even know like why that's such a scary threat. Like I'm not the 8-year-old who escaped war anymore. I'm grown. My kids are grown. Like I can go live wherever I want.
Support everyone because like people deserve to be here because we shouldn't be illegal when this is literally like stolen land.
Do you want to hear more from members of leaders from the Somali community to say we need to look at ourselves, we need to hold our own neighbors accountable because look at the damage that this has done to our community. What do you want to hear more from instead of just saying don't blame us? Do you want to see more ownership and oversight from within this
country? Look, it's not law-abiding citizens. If that were the case, there's a lot of white men should be holding a lot of white men accountable for the crimes that they have committed. I think for the community to maybe educate their population, because I think what you're seeing here is there's secondary victims in this, that there's providers inside the community that are then victimizing the community themselves by signing them up, because when we're going to some of these people, they're like, I had no idea I was in this program. So I think it's asking us then, you know, for every crime, which of course the majority being committed by white men, asking us to do more about that. I think it's crime in general. And I think the biggest thing on this is just making sure that we're educating the population. And again, this is 80 people or so that have been convicted in this, maybe some more in that.
Somalia Hanulato! Somalia Hanulato!
Somalia! Somalia! Hiran State! Maui Slay! Maui Slay!
Situation in my home state of Minnesota, where we've got
this is a former Minnesota Representative Jason Lewis, who's a GCN radio host, big talk show host. I've known him on the show. He's a friend of mine. He was in Congress. He's been kicked out now because he's a good guy. Here he is in 2014 exposing $100 million stolen in one program. So, see, this is just escalating. This isn't new. It's just getting worse. Tim Walz. Oh, we got a white problem. Is that why 95% of the fraud is Somalis? Now it's $24 billion in just the last 2 years? And he's the bag man. Him and Ilhan Omar changed the laws, got the regulations passed, got all that state and federal money to do this. And on the daycare centers that are empty, it's got his number on it. So when inspectors come, they go, call the governor. Let's go to former Representative Jason Lewis. Here it is.
Situation in my home state Congress. Of Minnesota, where we've got a number of daycare providers that are openly violating federal and state laws and regulations, taking money for personal use, using the money to set up a fraudulent child care client, and then providing a kickback has been reported. This is a major issue. There are allegations that, well, not just several, you've got 23 child care or daycare centers either closed or under investigation. The fraud may go as high as $100 million. Now think about that. In fiscal year 2018, Minnesota received $120 million in federal funding. The state contributed about $50 million in matching and maintenance funds, and we may have a fraud case of nearly $100 million in this state, with money then being transferred out of the country via MSP Airport. This is a big issue in my home state of Minnesota. Can you share with me what your agency is doing to investigate this? And I'm just wondering if we could not come up with some form of stricter enforcement to monitor the states that are receiving these funds to make certain that there's some sort of oversight here. This is very, thank you for your testimony today. I yield back.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lewis.
So, now that people are paying attention, it isn't just Minnesota. It's Wisconsin. It's Washington State, Oregon, Ohio. It's Texas. It's everywhere. With just the Somalis. And they're finding judges and prosecutors, Soros people, that aren't charging him. Or when a jury convicts, they just overturn it. You've seen that in the news. They're on the payroll, folks. They're the bosses. So when Tim Walz says there's white crime going on, yeah. And some of the Democrats above the Somalis are not Somalis, but they're black Americans, too, that we've caught. Like the Attorney General of Minnesota. He's on the payroll, been caught. His wealth has exploded since he became the Attorney General. So Bukele, down in who wins election with 85% rates, he just fired all the major judiciary, put in new people. Now they're the safest country in the Western Hemisphere. Massive investment going in. Totally beautiful. Beautiful people. In just 3-4 years, a 180. And what does he say? He says, you can't just put the gangbangers in. They work for the corrupt system. It's the judiciary that works for the mafia above it. And that's what they found. And they put a bunch of government officials in prison that were above running this and using MS-13 as their robots. So they had MS-13 that Clinton set up with the CIA, by the way, in the early 90s, mid-90s, look that up, in L.A., sent them down there for the drug trade. Just like Biden wanted all the TDA out of Venezuela to be sent up here to be bagmen. And that's why they protect them. That's why they release the TDA and the MS-13 and go to bat for them, because that's their foot soldiers. But the Congress people and the mayors and the governors, they're the capos. And then up above that, the BlackRock, the deep state, they're the dons. Here's Bukele explaining what must be done.
The jumping out of the water when it's already boiling is an almost impossible feat. You're not there yet. And believe me, you don't want to be. We did the unthinkable to cleanse our society. We arrested the terrorists, but we have to remove corrupt judges and corrupt attorneys and prosecutors.
You know, Bloomberg, when he ran for president, He never got to the full number. He spent $300 million. He was going to spend $500 million, but when he spent $300 million, it didn't work. Remember, Zuckerberg spent $400 million, $450-something million, stealing the 2020 with the database. I got that clip coming up. That's over $1 million per citizen he could have paid you. And that's not even a fraction of his. What is he worth, $80 billion now? You start to get the magnitude of this money? That's why 0.1%, not a 1%, has 80-plus percent of the wealth of the world. A handful of families. So while you're struggling to pay your bills, Bloomberg could spend $1 million per voter and still not win. I mean, this is a paper tiger, folks. And they've stolen all the wealth, and they're trying to convince you capitalism did this. No, crony capitalism, manipulated controlled markets, and it's the big banks and BlackRock that want to get rid of the checks and balances that are even left and totally enslave everybody. You know, Nick Shirley hasn't put out his new videos yesterday. He didn't want me to tell people he was in Minnesota. He didn't tell me that up front, so I'm like, oh, he's on the ground in Minnesota. We got to break this. Don't say that. I'm about to go on the street. But he hasn't got his reports out yet. But the Somalis do our jobs for us now. They got in his face and called him and said, you're bad, you're white, get out of here. A bunch of videos have gone viral with tens of millions of views with the Somalis videotaping it, doing Nick Shirley's own production for him. So now we get cameras both directions. Can't wait to see his reports. But they're working for us and don't even know it. Ooh, I love it. Okay, I literally have like 60 more articles and videos just on that. I got to stop. There's just too much to get to. But this has finally gotten the public's attention. And look, let's not just single out the Somalis. Like I said, they're finding it all over the country. Look at this. Bill de Blasio's wife can't account for $850 million given by her husband, the communist mayor, when he was mayor. And it turns out no services, nothing done, and they don't know where the money is, though they fly around on private jets and live in palaces. But she's black, so it's okay. And remember that all of this is just the tip of the iceberg. And it goes on and on and on. And what does Ilhan Omar say, and what does de Blasio say, and what does Walt say when you say you're stealing all this money? They go, oh, you're racist, because the word is de Blasio literally has this black wife and black kids as a political front. He's, let's just say, what I heard, not into women that much. But he literally, politically as a communist, went out and got a black wife, had black kids, so he can set them all up to run his frauds, and then you can't say, hey, man, you're stealing all this money, $850 million just in one scam, because she's black. That's what the Democrats do, is they literally put a black face on what they're doing. What's the cover of my huge film, Obama Deception? It's a white executive in a suit with an Obama mask over his face. That's all it is. And I'm not trying to demonize white people. I'm just saying there's a little kernel of truth. We got a white supremacy problem, a globalist leftist white supremacy problem, dividing and conquering all of us to control us. All right, I haven't even gotten into the real meat and potatoes yet. There is so much we'll be getting into. We have huge guests coming up today. I haven't even told you about that yet, including in studio. I have not even gotten into our top stories yet, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to break, but I want everybody to know right now that today is the last day at thealexjonesstore.com to get any of our incredible award-winning, top-rated, game-changing supplements, and get any other supplement you want free. Now, normally, we do it where you buy one of the supplement, and you get the same one free. No. You can buy a $25 supplement and get a $45 supplement free. This is the best deal ever. No excuses. You want our bovine colostrum. It's the best. You want our ultramethylene blue. It's the best. You want our Shilajit, it's the best. You want our Irish Sea Moss, it's the best. If you don't know what bovine colostrum is, look it up and then know we have the best. If you don't know about the type of the best quality creatine we have the best. It's all there. We have the best turmeric. We have the best. And it funds this operation, and I need your support. So I want to thank those of you that have supported in the past, and I want to encourage those of you that have never gone to thealexandstore.com and checked out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, ball caps, T-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, many of them limited edition. There's over 700 designs. It's crazy. Some of them are the very best designs. Some are okay designs. Some of them I made. Some of my designs are the best, but a lot of my designs are like, okay. A lot of new cool stuff, a lot of cool limited edition stuff. That's how we fund this operation. That's how we change the world together. Please support the transmission. But I'm telling you, you're missing out if you don't get our methylene blue. My medical doctor 7 years ago that owns wellness clinics all over the state has like 5 degrees. Great guy. I learned about him from like Shane Steiner 15 years ago. He told me, he said, you need to get methylene blue, get a USP grade. We don't sell it, but just get it. It was a prescription. He said, that's the doctor's order. I order it, don't really feel it. My wife liked it. Then Bigley, you know, 10 months ago or whatever, says, oh, try this. We got this medical grade of Florida. I said, all right. I took a dropper of it in my iced tea, drank half the iced tea. 30 minutes later, thought I was going crazy, felt all wild, energy, electricity in my fingers. And I went, oh, it's the methylene blue. Because ours is so good. Bigley, our big sponsor, thealexandstore.com, knocked it out of the park with this. It is wild how good it is. You've seen the rave reviews. You've read the rave reviews. You've seen every major guest we have in come in and take it. They've all been blown away. It's like a fog lifts. Bigley knocked it out of the park with this. Because I told them, I said, I want the highest rated. I want the best. So they spent, and about 6 months later, I said, why have you got it? And they said, well, we're talking a lot of places and we got this one place that doesn't even sell it as a supplement. They use it in medical surgeries instead of, you know, radioactive dye. They use this as dye before they do a surgery to see if there's any leakage. This is a medical place. We're trying to get a deal with them to buy it from them. And it's not even more expensive than the other places. And I said, okay. And then I got it. And I'm like, they must be saying stuff's USP grade that isn't. This is beyond. This is incredible. And people have taken the challenge that there's some other good brands out there, too. And they say, no, this is the best. It is amazing. It's so good for you as well. No letdown. Your workouts, your stamina, your clarity. If you take any of the supplements, if you listen to anything I ever say, go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement free. Thealexjonesstore.com. And anybody buying anything should be a VIP. For $30 a month, cancel any time, you get $40 to spend in the store instantly. Special deal, special offer, special everything. Special sales on everything when you're a VIP members, so become a VIP right now.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.
Americans are hunting down the fraud. They understand what's happening. Just us taking action, exposing it, will force the DOJ and others to take action, or Americans will stop paying taxes and we'll have a total civil war. One way or the other, this is victory. And I don't have time to put the full report. It's a longer bound report. It just went up on X. It just went up on InfoWars. Americans are hunting down the fraud. Then massive news on the other side of this break.
These surveillance videos are from a case prosecuted by Hennepin County. They show parents checking their kids into a center only to leave with them a few minutes later. Sometimes no children would show up. But either way, the center would bill the state for a full day of child care. This video from that same case shows a man handing out envelopes of what are believed to be kickback payments to parents who are in on the fraud.
Where was the money going?
I don't know exactly where it went.
While Soros judges continue to spit at justice for the Somalian fraud piracy that has escalated across the United States for years,
she acknowledges in her order that fraud was rampant in this case, and it was clearly out of control. She couldn't believe the level to which fraud was allowed to be able to perpetrated. And then it comes to bear that she lets him off because she felt as though somebody else should have been to blame that wasn't the owner of the company.
And the worthless dinosaur media psyop plays their loaded deck of race cards.
The Somali immigrant population may have been at some involved in some way. Those people are being scapegoated, and that community is being scapegoated in a way that certainly serves the far right.
Now, listen to where this phone number goes to when you call this child care center.
Thank you for contacting the office of Governor Tim Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
You don't even need to get on a plane to investigate. You can do it from your computer. I tried it out myself, and lo and behold.
Thank you for contacting the office of Governor Tim Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
In Washington State, 539 of about 5,000 licensed care centers are Somali-run, many lacking a physical address and some posting that they are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I called many of them, and it simply went to generic voicemail.
Please leave your message for 425. Please leave your message for 20. Call has been forwarded to voicemail. The person you're trying to reach is not available.
The fraud has found safe harbor in Democratic strongholds across the United States in many forms.
Gateway was billing for services they did not provide and billing for services that MainCare does not cover. DHHS also confirmed to us how much MainCare paid Gateway between the years of 2019 and 2024. It's about $4 to $5 million each year. A total of more than $28 million. And this third audit falls right in the middle of that time frame.
The company's founder and CEO, Abdullahi Ali, is Somali-American, who while at the time serving as executive director for Gateway, last year ran for president, which is essentially governor of Jubaland, a state in Somalia's south of borders Kenya.
Chris, for how long had this been going on? You were at Gateway for quite some time. How long do you think this has been going on, this fraud?
I was there from 2018 to recently 2025, and I hadn't realized about the audit that had been completed in 2018. So before I even got there, they were complicit in some of this stuff.
My name is John Featherston. I'm a former migrant shelter director in Massachusetts. I helped out in a couple different sites. Everything is free.
How much is given for rides for Uber and Lyft?
The amount of money that we would spend on Ubers and Lyft was well in excess of $100,000 a month.
Money.
So these individuals tried to report the fraud that was happening in Ohio and then eventually came to me to say that we're watching providers. So you could sit at home without caring for an elderly parent who really doesn't need it, make about $75,000 to $90,000 a year. Now you add two parents, that's $180,000. Now you add your in-laws, $250,000. You continue to add this and you wonder, what are the services being provided? So a lot of providers came and said, fraud is occurring because we said we weren't going to rubber stamp this paperwork, so they went to other providers.
All right, the full report is up on InfoWars.com and Real Hog Jones on X. Remember, Paul Revere's, you're how we reach more people, so please take the live feed from Real Hog Jones on X and on Rumble and share it to everybody you know. We'll be right back.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow grass fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available discounted at thealexjonesstore.com.
To an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, Harrison Smith is going to be in studio with me in the third hour, next hour, as we examine truth. And we examine just the train wreck that is Candace Owens and her complete fall into deception, saying that there was a Fort Huachuca meeting where all these TPUSA people met with the military to plan Kirk's killing. And that's what they've all said and all pushed and all done. Then she always says, no, I'm not saying that, though they are saying that. And then she has this known super con artist who is her witness to this with no evidence. And they just move the goalposts back and forth constantly and then demonize me and say, I work for Israel and all the rest of this stuff because I won't be part of this lie. And they then misrepresent and say that I don't want to investigate Charlie Kirk's murder and I don't think there's any anomalies and I back the official FBI story. Even though in every report I point out up front that on September 16th of this year, I talked to people that were in the cabinet meeting that was later, a month later, confirmed that date, everything. Cash Patel said, I don't want the so-called domestic accomplices looked at or this foreign information that Tulsi Gabbard had. And the people who told me this said, yeah, well, I got told by one, I called another that was there, I was told, and they said, yeah, we're scared to put this out. I put it out. And I'm vindicated. And you have 10 people the 3 days before, six the day before, two, three days before, saying, in the town, he'll be dead when he comes to university on the 10th. And when they killed him within minutes, see, we told you he's dead. Cash Patel told Turning Point USA, highest levels that I've talked to, they brought it up. He said, yeah, we interviewed those 10 people. We can't prove. I mean, they knew. We can't prove they were in on it. So we don't want to lose a prosecution. Bullcrap. You're covering up. That is the smoking gun. And I'm pushing TPUSA to go public with this. Because people know the official story is not true. And the establishment and the deep state's pushing to say TPUSA did it. Because they want to wipe out that huge Trump support, get millions and millions every year as registered voters. Just like Cash Patel's covering up accomplices with the shooter in Butler with Trump in July and all the rest of it. And them telling you Epstein acted alone, wasn't a human trafficker and killed himself. No, there is a cover-up. But some known con man with all this jail time bashing women's heads in and all these 5 restraining orders and his own public, his grown kids going public with his real name and his fake military record. He was in the military. He's put out a different record. This Mitch Snow. And then they all just backed this guy up and doubled down on that at some meeting at Fort Huachuca and play all these games. But notice they don't talk about Congressman Amadei, who they just randomly chose to say was there at the skiff in this meeting this guy bumbled into through all the iron doors. He's on C-SPAN 11 a.m. That's 8 a.m. Huachuca time. They try to spin it. Candace's people put out a 2:45 date when he's up there voting. No, he's there at 11 a.m. Now they don't want to say the name of the congressman, Amadei, because that's ironclad. Then they want to say, well, they had a TBS USA saying he's on a plane at 1:45 and release it. That's not enough. He could have been there. So they're going to release all that other stuff. And they're going to then just ignore that. And then, oh, Erica Kirk's the night before at Huachuca at a hotel. And then Owen says, oh, look at this document. You know, look at this photo. Did you see this guy? Oh, I saw him there, too. Okay, he's there now. It's like made to order. You're accusing people with no evidence of all this. We say you can't do that. You got to show proof, and then we're traitors. She's just asking questions. So Harrison Smith called in on her spaces last night, and she went to him, and the gaslighting is just next level. No, I'm not saying they were planning anything there. No, all your surrogates and you and saying, yeah, TBSA stood to gain and they're suspects. Oh, no, you never said that. This, you can't prove they're there. And it all becomes, was Mitch Snow there? No one ever denied. I said, I bet he was there. And it was, there is a detainment report. It's actually so weird. So that's where we are. And we're going to get into that next hour. And I love her supporters flooding me and attacking me and this is unpopular and we're not going to support you and blah, blah, blah. I've never done things to be popular. My life is very easy. I mean, I work very hard, but my moral decisions aren't even decisions. I do whatever's right. There's not even a discussion with me. And when people asked me to go investigate this stuff and a bunch of other stuff, she said it was horse manure. I went out and nicely said, I think you're being misled. Oh, you're an agent. You're a traitor. So I'm like, okay, great. You want to fight? You got one. Now I get it. And now we're sure after all this came out not being true, they double down. Well, then I'm on your ass because you know what you're doing is not true. And you want to confuse people and say that I don't want an investigation. That's the opposite. I don't want a fake investigation that's been disproven. My God, they could have said I was there and find any schizophrenic lunatic they want to say it. It's called bearing false witness. And I've been accused of stuff I never did. The internet and these school safety people and some professors in Florida and Wisconsin didn't believe Sandy Hook happened. It became a huge story. I interviewed them a few times. Years later, they demonized me, raised hundreds of millions off my name, the Democrats, sue me, have default judgments, do all that. I didn't do any of the things they said I did. And since then, I learned whatever really happened there, it was definitely a Bloomberg fundraising operation the whole time. That's confirmed now. But my point is that people say to me in constant private messages and on the street, everywhere, they say, listen, don't you think there's a cover-up? I mean, don't you think Israel's involved? I mean, so even if Candace is wrong, still, you know, she's on the right track. And I'm like, well, Israel does success. People, maybe they are involved. We know they're blocking foreign involvement investigation by Tulsi Gabbard information. I'm simply saying I need to see some proof. We need to investigate. We need to put pressure to expose all this. But you can't then make up a Fort Huachuca event and say, well, because that makes them look bad, what, TPUSA? We're not hearing anything from Candace Owens about the FBI, anything about, and then what about Tyler Robinson with the trans tie and all happy and celebrating and laughing arrogantly? Looks like a really evil person. Did he have help? Surely. Did the Democrats say we're going to kill him? Kirk, yeah. Did they celebrate it? Yeah. I mean, they're right there. with the accomplices saying he'll be dead tomorrow and Patel won't do it. That's not a Fort Huachuca. These are people online saying he'll be dead tomorrow and saying, see, I told you he'll be dead. And they're associates of him and his boyfriend. You got the Candace Owens thing is a plate with nothing on it. And she says, you're crazy. It's the Emperor's New Clothes. You don't see that plate? And then meanwhile, Cash Patel ordering a cover-up is a giant 40-ounce ribeye with the baked potato fully loaded and an iceberg wedge salad and a huge iced tea with lemon. I mean, it is, and peppercorn sauce. I mean, it is there. You can bite into it. And they're like, don't bite into that. Here's an example, and after the break, he's only with us for like 10 minutes. When I come back, the Bloomberg information, this other stuff, this is bombshell, folks. This is the stuff you see in the news, but it's there. This is big. Now, speaking of that, I want to get Dr. Kirk Elliott on. He's only got like 10 minutes. He's very busy right now to talk about this. Remember 2 years ago, after 13, 14 years not doing silver and gold, I said, now the market will go up, and now here's the best place that sells it at wholesale with the highest ratings. And was I not right? And then a month ago, silver goes down $10. Oh, it's all over. Alex is wrong. I said, watch. Shoots up to 70. Shoots up to 88. I said, watch. It'll go down. They push it down. Shoots back up $10. We know what we're talking about. See, surety, research, real information. That's what I care about is the truth. So, Dr. Elliott, watching all this happen, I know they were running out of supply over the weekend when this happened. What is really behind this? Now we see it bouncing way back. What does this trend mean? Dr. Kirk Elliott of KEPM.com/gold. Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, the top silver and gold broker in North America, and our great sponsor, Dr. Elliott.
Hey, Alex, it's good to be with you. So over the holidays, over Christmas, silver had gotten up to $85. I mean, insane, right? And you have to realize during the holidays, very low trading, right? There's very little volume, very few participants, traders are on vacation. So if anybody wanted to manipulate markets, it's holidays when you do it because you don't have to put a lot in to get it done, right? So we're looking at silver just go up and up and up and up, right? And when the banks have short positions, this is a problem for them. They are going to lose money hand over fist, right? So all of a sudden you see what the press is calling panic selling in America. And it went from 85 down to 75 in literally 70 minutes. $10 is like literally 11% downturn in 70 minutes, right? And the financial talking heads saying, oh, it's over. This bull market's over. It's like, it's never over when there's no supply and high demand. It's like, rule 101 of economics, right? So, by the way,
the last 3 weeks we warned every week to expect a profit taking correction, that it would go down then bounce back up. I mean, we've got this.
We got it. And we talked about the volatility that we were going to see. Now, there's a few options, right? You could see, okay, it's going to be volatile. It's going to come down and then it's going to consolidate and go sideways for a while. I don't think that's going to happen. Because of the sharp move that it came down, you know, literally 11% in 70 minutes is fast and furious. And what did it do? It hit 75 and then it like stopped. It's like, why didn't it keep going? It's because somebody put, you know, these futures contracts probably at 75 as the limit and it was done and it was over. So, but here's the interesting thing. So panic selling in America increased some inventory. Who was buying that inventory? China was. So you look at China, Alex, it was $75 panic selling in America on COMEX. China was offering $91 an ounce. Why would they do that? Because they wanted to get the first bid in. They wanted to make sure that they got any excess inventory that was available. Why would somebody pay a $91 an ounce? You know, which
yeah,
was
let's
a
hear print- a record skip sound. It's a total industrial metal, a rare earth mineral. Almost all the exchanges and systems have run out. The demand's only increasing. So why would China do that? Because they had to have it. But then I hear your point, though. How were they able to suppress it? I guess that's because there was less volume. That was the time to sneak in, and that was the time to make their moves.
Yeah. So here's where why would they do this, and how did they do this? Less volume takes less money. But to me, this wasn't panic buying or panic selling. It was theft. Right. So what China did is it created inventory on this panic selling in America. They took the inventory and they gobbled it up at $91 an ounce in China. So this tells me this isn't the math.
They know it's going to go up way above 91.
Yeah. Yeah. So why would they do that? Because they need it, Alex. So like on the 23rd, we did a show and we talked about BDY, the big Chinese auto manufacturer that's going to take up 20% of the mining production, along with Samsung, another 20% of the mining production.
And so this is strategic warfare, and Trump's already made silver a strategic metal, but we need to get serious about this.
Yeah. I mean, so the story was back, you know, couple months ago, when Trump made silver a critical mineral, right, he put it on the critical minerals list, and then China said, we are not going to export to the rest of the world. People said, oh, this is retaliation to Trump's tariffs. No, it wasn't, Alex. I don't believe
No, you predicted 2 weeks ago this would happen. Do you remember what you said?
Yeah, I mean, because it's not retaliation. They need it. So what else why would you put a limit on exports to the rest of the world? Because you don't want it to leave your country. They need it, right? So they knew what's coming with this China car manufacturer. They know what's happening with manufacturing.
And you're the expert, but the mines are over capacity as well, right? So this problem is only going to get worse, which is better for the price.
It's only going to get worse. See, and I've got people that call me every day and say, Kirk, You're so dumb because the mines are just going to open up new mines with this high silver price. It's like, yeah, they will.
What's it take for a full industrial mine? What, 4 years for development?
10 to 18. So even if they were to open, and here's why there wasn't a lot of mines in production at the beginning of the year. Why? Because silver was $28 an ounce.
So we're not getting the 4 year. I guess they already have a developed mine opening a new sections for. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's going to be some opening up. It's not going to be enough to actually even take a dent out of the demand, right, and out of the supply equation. So a lot of companies are probably looking at, hey, we've got to open up new mines. This is going to not show new supply for like a decade plus, Alex, a decade. So what China's doing is saying we've got to actually keep metal in-house. How else do we know that? Because they've now made an announcement for years. They've been encouraging Chinese citizens to hoard gold, to hoard silver, right, to get it in their country. And now they did an about face and they said, no, hoarding is bad. You can't do that. Why? Because the government needs it for manufacturing. They don't even want Chinese citizens buying it anymore. Right.
As you predicted, because of the arms race.
Yes. Yes. They need it for everything from AI chips to cryptocurrency mining to weapons. To solar, to EVs, to everything, right? So you look at what's happening, and this is why silver, what we predicted at the beginning of the year, you asked me like almost every single show, where's silver going to go this year? I said 67 to 75 by the end of the year. It's one day left in the year. Where is it? It's 78.30. As usual, I undercut it, right? But we're at 78.30. Alex, this is 170% growth year to date.
And explain, you said, what do the historic charts mean? This chart move signifies, it looks to me like very soon, looks like a 50% increase. What does this graph show here?
I'm not sure which graph you're looking at. Okay, so this just shows us where we are in a parabolic price increase, right? So at the end of every bull market, and we might be at the beginning of the end of this bull market, which don't think it's like going to last a week. This might last a couple of years, right, in this stratospheric growth, because we've already seen it go on for years and years and years and years. So this end, speculative blow-off, this is where things start to grow parabolically, because what you are going to see is massive amounts of demand because of electronics, no supply, and people are comparing this to oh, the government's going to intervene. They're going to change margin requirements. This is the Hunt brothers all over again. No, it's not. The Hunt brothers were speculators cornering the silver market with futures, right? It was
speculation. This is industrial and inflationary systems. And as there's flights out of paper, all commodities will explode. Silver will be the king, followed by gold, copper, everything else. So let's give them a pitch. Everybody needs to call, get a free consultation, sign up for a free consultation at KEPM.com/gold. We'll put the number up on screen. Folks, this is the surest deal in the world. We have the number one rated. You get it for wholesale. You know the price online of wholesale. You call, you get it. You can sell it back for no fees. Nobody's got that. Only way Elliot's done this is over 25 years, scaling up to be the biggest. I could get five times the money a month with sponsors that rip you off on gold and silver, but we don't. We get a lot less money because there's not much margin, but we bring you the good deal. We've been proven right, just like we always are, because the grace of God, God's hands on us. You need to go to KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And I have been told family that's getting silver and stuff. You know, I told them, I said 2 weeks ago with you, I said, I think it's going to drop, you know, a few percentage points. There'll be some volatility, profit-making manipulations, but I said it'll just go back up to that. And you see that. It's a no-brainer. It's the surest thing there is since, you know, the love in your mother's eyes. Give us the pitch here. People need to call you right now.
Yeah, and call us, because I don't care if you buy it today at 78 or if you think that it's going to come down and you're going to buy on a dip. I don't care if you're buying on the dip or buying now. Why? Because I think silver's going to be 120 to 140. By late spring, early summer, and probably pushing 200 by the end of next year. This is supply and demand, Alex. So in reality, you are not going to care if you got silver at a few dollars higher, a few dollars less than what it is right now. But when you see the volatility, which we will see, guaranteed, we're going to see drop days like we saw the other day. But when is that going to come? Is that going to come when silver's 100? Is it going to come? We just saw it.
And there's no doubt that's the buying time. Right now is the buying time.
That's the buying time. Buy on the dips if you can. But if you
can't. I was telling family 3 days ago when it went to the down, I said buy now. And they waited. Now it's gone up $9 or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it dipped down to 71. And literally a day and a half later, it's already up to 78. This tells you the oxygen that is fueling this fire is not going out. It's not stopping. And this is just because it's needed for everything. I mean, it's very rare, Alex, that you have a commodity that's like literally needed for just about everything. Everything.
And the mines all say they can't keep up. It's guaranteed.
It's guaranteed. I mean, Samsung even is bypassing the exchange in London where you normally have to buy and sell it. And they went to Durango, Mexico, right to the mine and said, we're going to undercut. We're going to get rid of the price discovery, buy directly from the mines because the exchanges are so stupid and they overleverage themselves and they ran out of inventory. So there is no physical delivery. So what is that going to force the manufacturers to do? Go directly to the mine.
And you predicted a year ago, I remember, you said when this starts, this run, they're going to cut the markets right out and go right with partnerships with the mines to guarantee it.
Yeah, you've got a bunch of smart businessmen like Elon Musk at Tesla, right? What if I were him, what would I do? I'd go to Heraeus Refinery, it's the largest in the world in Switzerland, and say, hey, I've got to cut everybody else out. I'm going to start offering $20 more an ounce than what it is. You know, he made a warning last week. It said this rise in price of silver is going to be dangerous to the world because it's needed for everything. So I can see him going directly to the refineries. I can see Samsung doing it because they already did. See, I think London is done as the financial center of the metals world.
And yeah, we're in the modern starting world, you don't need middlemen. You don't, that's what Trump said about China. It's not China that's even bad. It's the globalist middlemen. They're done. KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900 for a free consultation. You are insane if you don't do it and take action now. There's never a sure thing in my 31 years on air. This is a no-brainer. This is the best deal. Take action now. Kurt, I'll see you next year. We love you, brother.
See you next year. Love you too. Bye-bye.
Huge news straight ahead.
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screens got you numb, keep you foggy at night. They want you tired, unfocused, slow. But I cracked the code, now the voltage flows. Clean energy, no crash, no fade. Mind sharp like a blade when the system plays games. From the gym to the grind to the war for your mind is a lock. Nah, this is designed. Ultimate power. Locked in focus.
Turbo Force filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate power at thealexshowstore.com.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow grass fed from thealexshowstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available discounted at thealexshowstore.com.
Hey Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexshowstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
All right, the top FBI whistleblower, batting 1,000, Kyle Serafin just called during the break. He said he's got a huge pipe bomber, patsy scapegoat news. It's part of the course for this new and improved FBI. He's going to be popping in a moment. And we got so much more coming up. But I wanted to hit this just to remind you about the amount of money being spent by globalist operatives to try to destroy this country and Europe as well. 400-something million by Zuckerberg to create a database of dead people, illegals, to steal 2020. Needs to be prosecuted. And remember what Bloomberg spent. He was going to spend, if I remember, $500 million. He only spent like $300 million of it. That's $1 million per person in America. Into the system, into the media. And did it help him? No, he didn't even pull like 2%. There's a New York Times reporter reporting on it. Just to remember the paper tiger we're dealing with. So here she is, flashback. Myra Gay thought Michael Bloomberg could give every American $1 million instead of spending $500 million. And you can argue it's not really that. She gets the math wrong because obviously it's $350 million. But the point is that what is Bloomberg? Well, last time I said he's worth like $85 million. Look at what Bloomberg's currently worth. And he's got all those little terminals and little manipulative systems. And how many billions do they spend now just even in state elections? And the public needs to understand that you can't not get involved in politics because there's corruption. You have to get involved because that's how you expose it. And then over time, we end up winning. So here's the clip.
But you see it as a possibility if he wants to spend $1 billion beating this guy, he could do it.
Absolutely. Somebody tweeted recently that actually with the money he spent, he could have given every American $1 million.
I've got it. Let's put it up on the screen. When I read it tonight on social media, it kind of all became clear. Bloomberg spent $500 million on ads, U.S. population 327 million. Don't tell us if you're ahead of us on the math. He could have given each American $1 million and have had lunch money left over. It's an incredible way of putting it.
It's an incredible way of putting it. It's true. It's disturbing. It does suggest, you know, what we're talking about here, which is there's too much money in politics. And it makes it difficult because what we want in.
Now, again, I'm going from memory. I don't think he actually spent the full 500, but he did spend upwards of $1 million per person in the country. Let that sink in. But remember, 90% of the big billionaires have been supporting the left, not just here, but around the world. Because they get the government contracts. They get exempt from the taxes. They're consolidating. They're able to do the insider trading, the flash trading like he does with his terminals. And then he finances the suits against me. That's come out now, the attempts to shut us down, working with the Justice Department. So when you support us, and when you buy the products at theauctionstore.com, when you spread the word, you're fighting Michael Bloomberg. And he knows that he couldn't even get a couple points in the race spending $500 million, they're saying. That's over $1 million per person in the country. So instead, he just goes around financing fake lawsuits and rigged events trying to shut down the American people. But that's not going to work, Bloomberg. Your money's not worth anything here, you and Zuckerberg. Speaking of Zuckerberg, he's got several yachts. This one is, what, 300 and something feet long. It's the size of a battleship. Mark Zuckerberg, an outspoken critic of man-made climate change, shove off his 300-million, 287-foot mega yacht, powered by four gigantic diesel engines. Yet another stark reminder that his net zero is only for the peasants. They want to cut your money off. Remember, Obama told Africans, you can have an air conditioner or car, the earth will overheat. But Zuckerberg can have a fleet of jets. Bill Gates can have a fleet of jets and a fleet of yachts, 287 feet long, with helicopter landing pads. But you are bad. You are evil. And let's tie this into that. It's already happening in Europe, despite the fact Trump pulled out of the global carbon tax Paris Accord that's meant to shut down all of our industry. Remember, less than 0.1% controls 80+% of the world's wealth. They want the last bit of wealth for control. They're all exempt from the carbon taxes. Or they own the carbon tax trading companies and pay into it, but it goes right back to them. Obama's co-owner with one of the biggest in the world, with Al Gore. It's called Gore and Blood. I'm not kidding. That's the name of the two main owners, Al Gore and Mr. Blood. And so already in Europe, already in the UK, you go to get a ticket, and it tells you your carbon tax. And already this year, it kicks in next year, they're banning short flights in France and other countries because of the carbon footprint. Oh, you want to fly an hour across France to your mom or whatever? No, you can drive. Oh, but now there'll be a carbon tax on your car. Here's a clip. Ladies and gentlemen, another conspiracy theory coming true. How is it a conspiracy? It's an official plan. Here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, another conspiracy theory is coming true. Banks in the UK are now tracking your carbon footprint by category based on what you decide to spend your money on. That way, if you forget to self-report a sandwich you ate and deduct it from your carbon allowance, don't worry, they'll do it for you. This is the real reason why the UK is implementing digital IDs and pushing for a cashless society, so they can link the two up and track everything that you do. And once the digital surveillance tracking system is fully implemented, the only way out of it would be hackers going after the grid or the sun and Mother Nature doing that for us. Which makes you wonder if this is the real reason the UK is experimenting with geoengineering and trying to block out the sun.
They just want to play God and have the precedent to do it. That's what it's about. By the way, the $500 million is not a million to each person. It's like a dollar something to each person, which, again, is the joke on them. But it still gives you an idea in this idiocracy of where we are. And that was my point, was to get people thinking about that. All right. Call Seraph, and we're trying to get him connected right now. He's got huge news on the pipe bomber. I wanted to get to this. This is extremely illustrative of the level of corruption that we face as a society. Here's Elon Musk. Millions of non-U.S. citizens were issued Social Security numbers under Democrat administrations, and many of them voted. Their strategy, which they admit was clear, import illegal immigrants, grant them legal status, and then turn America into a deep blue social state. But it's worse than that. They then get what was going to be 18 new seats by the census apportionment that counts the illegals in the congressional districting. So it's a whole other level of gerrymandering. And Trump's trying to deal with that. Here's just a snapshot. The massive amount of fraud in Nevada alone during the 2020 election. They confirmed in Georgia they stole it. Confirmed in Arizona. Arizona, Trump lost by 11,000. 370-something thousand confirmed fraud. He won in a landslide. But here is the clip of Musk and then the clip in Nevada in congressional hearings about the level of fraud. This is just some of what they caught.
In the Social Security database. This is so crazy. And then you'll notice there's a strange trend here where how many Social Security numbers were issued. Do you want to...
Yeah, so let me tell you what happened here. We started at the top of the system.
You want to talk about a lot of it?
We started at the top of the system, mapping the whole system of Social Security to understand where all the fraud was. And there's a lot of great people there that showed us really a lot of waste. And so that came up with a big list of stuff they're working on. You've heard some of that already. But this is what jumped out at us. When we saw these numbers, we were like, what is this? In 21, you see 270,000 people, goes all the way to 2.1 million in 24. These are non-citizens that are getting Social Security numbers.
Yeah, this is a mind-blowing chart.
Yeah, this literally blew us away. Like, we went there to find fraud, and we found this by accident. And this isn't political, by the way. My parents are immigrants. This country's been great to us. My brother and sister are all born in Spain. I'm pro-legal immigration. This is not political. This is not political. This is about America and the future of America. And there are a lot of good people in the system that pointed this in this direction. I want to honor them right now. They work in the government today, who took risks to show us these numbers and tell us what's going on. Yeah. So I want to stop for a minute. I want to honor those people today. Very good people. Very good people. I have been from D.C. to Social Security offices to the border to track this down, and very good people have helped us along the way. I want to thank them.
Yeah.
This number, what this is when you come in the country, if you're an illegal, there's a couple ways to come in. You come in through a port of entry, and you can tell them you're afraid, and they'll give you an asylum case. You'll get an interview. Then you get in. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is to just go to the border. Literally, this happened. I talked to Border Patrol myself. Elon was there, too. I went to Laredo, and I went to Bronzeville. Elon went to Eagle Pass. You walk up to a Border Patrol officer, and you tell them you want to come in. They have a couple of choices. They could charge you with a misdemeanor or a felony under 1325, or they can make it an administrative offense, like a parking ticket, basically. They were told to do that, make it an administrative offense under the last administration. And then you go walk across the border, they do what's called a release your recognizance, and they give you an NTA, a notice to appear, which to appear to judge. The wait times on judges are like average 6 years. Look at Grok, you'll see it on immigration judges. There's only 700 of them. This is 5.5 million people. Okay? So what happens then? Once you're in the country and you've got asylum through one of these pathways, and we map the whole thing out, you can apply for a work document. You file a 765. It's the work form. You get this form called the 766. That's the authorization. And then Social Security Administration automatically sends you in the mail your Social Security number. No interview. No ID.
This is worth, like, just reiterating. It's not people sometimes think that under the Biden administration that he was simply asleep at the switch. He wasn't asleep. No. They weren't asleep at the switch. It was a massive, large-scale program to import as many illegals as possible, ultimately to change the entire voting map of the United States and disenfranchise the American people and make it a permanent, deep blue, one-party state from which there would be no escape.
Look, if I hadn't seen this myself, I'm not sure I'd have believed it. I went through it myself and mapped it. And Elon is right. This is true. The defaults in the system from Social Security to all of the benefit programs have been set to max inclusion, max pay for these people, and minimum collection. That's what's happening. We found 1.3 million of them already on Medicaid, as an example. We've gone through on every benefit program we went through, we found groups from this particular group of people, this 5.5 million people, in those benefit programs. And then what was really, really disturbing us was why. We're asking ourselves why. Right. And so we actually just took a sample and looked at voter registration records. And we found people here registered to vote in this population, yes.
And who did vote?
And we found some by sampling that actually did vote. And we have referred them to prosecution at the Homeland Security Investigation Service.
Yeah.
And now we found in Georgia and Nevada and everywhere. And I got another clip after Kyle leaves us I'll get to. And there are some prosecutions, but not many. We have Cash Patel saying nobody helped Crooks in Butler. We have them shutting down any accomplices who openly said Charlie Kirk will be dead tomorrow in Utah. We have them saying Epstein killed himself and acted alone and wasn't a child trafficker. Really bad. And now Bondi's panicking, saying, I promise prosecutions with the open and shut Somali fraud. It goes right up to Tim Walz. But as Kyle Serafin, who worked the pipe bomber case at the time, in 2021, literally surveilled the house right next door to the folks that were focused on the Capitol police officer, we now have in fact, I was thinking about him about an hour ago. I was watching Fox, and they were even admitting, oh, they think their case is falling apart. I'm like, ooh, Kyle Serafin, I'm going to call him. He calls up, because I'm always calling him to get him on. He calls him and says, hey, we got big breaking stuff on this. He said on X at Kyle Serafin, the DOJ is worried about even meeting the lowest burden of proof, probable cause, in front of a D.C. district court judge. How can they, and these D.C. judges will do whatever they tell them, how can they pretend they had enough to arrest Brian Cole Jr. and convince a jury beyond reasonable doubt if they don't even want to argue they have probable cause? This is massive. We have a video he's going to play. This is a big, big deal. Kyle Serafin, this thing, as you predicted, is completely falling apart. As soon as people identify who they believe is the person or a suspect, after all these years, they rush this out. And then now, as we predicted, it's an autistic person, and it's disintegrating. Give us the latest, Kyle Serafin.
Yeah, you bet. So I need people to understand how DC works. It's the way that we found that it didn't work during the January 6th prosecutions. But there are two tiers that the DC justice system has. One of them is called the Superior Court and the other is called the District Court. The Superior Court is the lower. It's similar to like a state or a local court system. So if you got charged by your county or your sheriff or your local police officers, they would bring you in front of the equivalent of Superior Court. It's usually done in the states. DC is unique because it's a federal district. So it has this level. Now, the crazy thing about DC is that there's one United States Attorney's Office, and that's run by Jeanine Pirro at the moment, and they can bring cases in the Superior Court, which is the lower level. That's where most of the January 6th cases should have gone, the minor trespassing, the property damage, things like this. And only serious federal crimes that the FBI is investigating normally go into the district court. So you've got the local D.C. Metro PD, and they bring their cases, generally speaking, to Superior, and then you'd have the federal stuff goes to district. So people have to understand that to begin with. Now, you have grand juries on both. You've got district grand juries, and you've got Superior Court grand juries. When you go out there and charge someone, you've got two ways you can do it. You can do what's called a complaint, which means you write up an affidavit, you ask a court, a magistrate judge, to agree that you have probable cause, and then you can go and arrest somebody. You charge them with the crime. And when you do that, then you go and you take it to the area that you did. So there's Superior Court grand juries, and there's district court grand juries. Here's where the shenanigans just came in. Brian Cole Jr. was arrested under a complaint that was filed with the district court, the District of D.C., and they arrested a guy out of Woodbridge, Virginia, for the pipe bomber case, claimed that he was the one who did it. The way that you have to do that is you have to have probable cause. Now, you can argue that in front of a judge as a complaint, and the judge just basically takes your hand on a Bible or raise your hand on the phone, and you swear out that you've got enough there, and then they go and get the arrest warrant. But then you've got to go in front of a hearing later, which is called a preliminary hearing, where if you don't take it to the grand jury, if you don't take it in front of a panel of citizens who agree, yes, you have probable cause. That's why they say you can always, indict a ham sandwich, because you only present what you want when you're going to a grand jury. If you don't get that indictment, then you have to take it in front of a judge for a preliminary hearing. Today was supposed to be the preliminary hearing for Brian Cole Jr., as well as his detention hearing. So not only were they going to decide whether or not they keep him locked up, they were also going to have to decide whether or not they even had, they being the DOJ, met the burden of proof for probable cause, which is the lowest level in the system. In order to arrest somebody, it just has to be more likely than not that they were the one who did the thing that you allege. And then you have to take it in front of a jury, you try the case, you give them all the evidence, and you have to meet the highest bar, which is, as it should be, it's supposed to be beyond a reasonable doubt. No reasonable person could believe that they didn't do the crime. The DOJ has been desperately working to not bring this up. They do not want to bring up even the lowest level. They don't want to take this in front of a preliminary hearing in front of a judge. So here's the bullshit they just pulled. And this is wild shenanigans, Alex. They took every means, they filed all the means, they put all these motions out that said, hey, please, like, let's kick this down the line. We want to go to next year. We want to wait until we get in front of a grand jury. We don't want to have a preliminary hearing. And the defense, which is really aggressive, it's a new law firm that's out of Tennessee. They're former United States attorneys, and they're apparently very good, went out and said, no. We insist on having the preliminary hearing today, Tuesday, December the 30th. And so DOJ panicked and yesterday took Brian Cole Jr.'s case in front of a superior court, the lower court, in front of a grand jury, and got an indictment there. But that indictment doesn't generally hold in federal court. And they tried this bullshit in spring in an assault case.
Now let me just stop
and
you.
It is now tied
I'm not
up.
A legal expert like you, but I've been in a lot of stuff. I've followed it. This is so outrageous, so transparent. You just gave us all the technicals. Dumb it down for us like we're 5 years old. Okay, I mean, this is, on a scale of 1 to 10, this is like a 9, right? I mean, this is just flagrant, blood in the water, absolutely desperate. Everything you said, this guy is guilty as sin. Not guilty as sin. I mean, this is, they are guilty as sin of right. A total fiasco.
This is a Hail Mary end around, doing everything they can to present even the lowest level of burden of proof, which would be probable cause. They don't even want to show a judge, because if you go in front of a judge with a preliminary hearing, unlike the grand jury, where you just go, like, it's me, the FBI agent, it's an attorney, and we go and we say, here's our case, this is what we think, this is all the stuff we know, this guy did it. And they go, yes, we agree. And they give you an indictment, they give you a true bill. If you do it in front of a judge, the defense attorneys can argue as well. And the defense attorneys are going to show this piece that was just released by The Blaze, my friend Steve Baker, who just got back from having a heart attack and some shady things around all that. Steve Baker and his team and the video analyst that's over on X called Armitas just dropped this video today. I've been sitting on this for literally weeks. I saw this just after he was arrested. You guys can play the video, and I'll talk through it if you're
good. We're going to roll it, and you narrate it. What are we seeing here?
Right now, you're seeing the house that Brian Cole Jr. lives in, and that's his vehicle. That's a blue Nissan Sentra 2017. This is the map of the cell phone pings and the towers that DOJ used, and now you're seeing what we believe is Brian Cole Jr.'s car driving at 804 It's driving while the pipe bomber is on foot over a mile away. And there's one other car that matches this description, and it's driven by a white person. We can't see who the driver of this is. But if that is Brian Cole Jr.'s car, then Brian Cole Jr. was driving while the pipe bomber was on foot dropping off the bombs, and it couldn't have been him.
Oh, this is a real Perry Mason, very real Perry Mason moment. This is a real Perry Mason moment. If I sound a little speechless here, this is so devastating. Start over.
You never get this stuff. You're looking now at the similarities between the vehicle that shows up on Google Earth, which was Brian Cole Jr.'s car. It's parked out in front of his house, and a still screenshot showing Brian Cole Jr.'s car, we believe, driving on the streets. It's about a mile and change away. It's driving north on 3rd Street, northwest, and it is turning on C Street. It is a 7-minute drive from that location you're seeing the taillights on right now to get over to where the pipe bomber was. The pipe bomber was on foot from 7:34 at least until 8:18, and you've got this car driving just after 8 o'clock, exactly in the area where the cell phone should be pinging. If you loop it for 1 second, I'll show you.
Well, let's just stop right here, because you're just like me. You always come in and like build a story, hit the big thing at the end. I like to tell them up front where we should. The real story isn't they just bait and switched and don't want to show cause and don't want to show evidence because they know they don't have it. They're doing all these shell games. That's big. But this, if accurate, and that's the car, that's the area, here he is, 7 minutes away, which you always pointed out with the geolocation, he wasn't even in the area. This is now proven that that's the car, looks like it. This is a rock-solid alibi right out of the gates. And what you're saying is the feds already knew this. This is incredible. Kyle, recap it in 2 minutes.
This is reasonable doubt. A normal person looks at this and says, how do you explain that this car that looks exactly like Brian Cole Jr.'s car was driving a mile away while you're claiming he was on foot? And it also is in the same area where the cell phone would be pinging. This is commensurate with the cell phone ping zones. So you now have the most plausible alibi that the guy was actually driving and doing God knows what. Maybe he was doing DoorDash. Maybe he was lost. Maybe he was looking for somebody to give him a pipe bomb because he was meeting an FBI source. It doesn't really matter, because what it shows is it's unlikely, and I think a reasonable person would have doubt. That's the burden. They would have doubt that he was actually out doing the thing that the DOJ is alleging. So no wonder they don't want to show probable cause, because they're sure as hell not going to be able to prove it with this. And I'm guessing that either they didn't find this video, or they knew it and they set up Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, you know, Pam Bondi, Jeanine Pirro to all look like fools as they were, you know, doing this high five circle jerk, doing a press conference, because this is a truly damning thing. To have somebody's vehicle in motion while they're supposed to be on foot.
And let's be clear, the car matches. We know they probably got better HD. We need to, you know, find out. But as you said, when this first came out a month ago, you said, look, he's a mile away at the closest. This doesn't even match.
Yeah, I saw this a long time ago.
And so that's what I'm telling you. He was DoorDash. And so that's, and he's autistic. But what's crazy is, by the luck of the way God works, you worked the pipe bomb case and were surveilling the house next door to the Capitol police officer.
That's right. Nobody can explain the parallels and what the Blaze originally found out and has published. They've retracted it because the FBI arrested, I think, the wrong guy, and I'm pretty confident about that. So here we are looking at what I would say is very good exculpatory evidence, and it should absolutely devastate DOJ.
Scandal. Come back in 2 minutes. I want you to finish up. Then we got Harrison Smith coming in.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexshowstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexshowstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
We got 5 minutes. You got to come back on tomorrow. This is so incredible. And we're doing late night coverage of the new year tomorrow. So please join us. You just broke mortar in the break. Autism findings. That's the new filing. Bait switching with the courts. His car looks just like it. Matches up with the geolocation. This whole thing is completely exploded, as you predicted. Kyle Seraphin, recap it all.
All right, quick and dirty. The defense filed a motion showing that they have a diagnosis of autism, and they're making the claim that he's also of, this is Brian Cole Jr., the alleged pipe bomber subject, is also obsessive compulsive disorder diagnoses. So if you guys look, this is the most recent filing they had. They put that into the court this morning in anticipation of doing a preliminary hearing and showing that not only does the, do they not actually have the case to be able to bring and prove him guilty, the defense doesn't even think that they have probable cause to hold this guy. And the DOJ basically pulled an end around a shenanigan Hail Mary where they took their indictment to the wrong grand jury, hoping that the district court would actually honor it. But the district court said that these are extenuating circumstances, so we're going to get like a delay on this, which is all sort of crazy. End of the day, the worst part of it is the Blaze just dropped this. The worst part for the government's case, they just dropped this video as part of a broader story showing that the pings are very inconclusive, which is something I've been telling you for quite a while. And they have video of a vehicle that matches Brian Cole's vehicle, which is still parked out in front of his house, by the way. The DOJ didn't seize it. And it's driving at the time that the pipe bomber was on foot. So very simply, between the hours of 7:34 p.m. and 8:18 p.m. on January 5th, 2021, the pipe bomber is on foot, walking around with the hood on. That's who the FBI and the DOJ allege Brian Cole Jr. is, that figure. But the problem is a car that matches Brian Cole's car is in motion in Washington, D.C., over a mile away and driving in a route that's at least 7 minutes away and could not be him. There's no way outside of teleportation or some sort of magical time warp that Brian Cole Jr. is both driving his car and walking around at that time. So at the very least, it shows that there would have to be another person involved. More likely than not, what it shows is they've got the wrong guy altogether, which is what I believe for quite a while now. In any case, we've got the DOJ indicating basically what looks like panic to me. I have no idea why. If you have the case and you've been working this for 5 years and you actually believe in a court of law that you can prove beyond a reasonable doubt to a citizen jury, not the grand jury, but the actual jury, sit there and be able to prove in a trial that you have the evidence that this person did the crime, then you're not scared of meeting a preliminary hearing with a defense attorney there, because probable cause is the lowest possible burden. But what we're seeing is the behavior on the of the DOJ going exactly the opposite. They're doing everything possible to avoid going in front of a judge and having the evidence that they have, you know, to show even probable cause. They don't even want to show that. And as you guys are seeing this video, I put it out on X. It's linked on my profile. So if people want to go out there and get a copy of it, or if you want to share it with your friends, I think this is truly damning. It shows a vehicle in motion. Again, it's the same vehicle that you could find on Google Earth right outside of Brian Cole Jr.'s house. It's the vehicle that is registered to him is a blue 2017 Nissan Sentra with factory wheels. This is what you're looking at. What we did is we flipped it around to orient it so you can see that it's very similar to the one that's driving. They have the same silhouette. They have the same chrome accent pieces on the door and so on. And he's driving northbound directly at cell phone tower number 3 at the time when theoretically
Kyle,
the DOJ is claiming
he's
somewhere.
You gotta come back tomorrow during the main show or during the coverage, but. Going back to what you predicted 10 months ago on the show, you said they're going to set up these lightweights. They're going to set them up with all these investigations, and he's done it at every level. Patel just steps right into it. How long can this moron stay there?
I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, this was one of the big pieces. Again, this is the Dan Bongino sort of crown jewel. They claim that this was his, you know, last hurrah, and then he's going to step off and go back to the podcast as a victorious conquering hero. If this case falls apart, and I suspect that it will, and I think this is going to be a big piece of it.
I think it already has. You predicted it would. You said he's a patsy. You worked the case. I think it has fallen apart.
You're looking at... I think this is exactly what it does. It makes you leave in shame, and it destroys the reputation of the guys who basically went out there and did a big high-five circle, you know, great congratulations moment. It's over.
All right, let me ask you a question during the break. I don't know if you want to get into this, but if you can, we'll come back briefly. Kyle Serafin, be sure and follow him on X at Kyle Serafin. I'm challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles, we've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future, we've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you, so now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now, do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams, that's a daily serving per gummy, huge container of them, such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
All right, Kyle Serafin is very impressive. I mean, I don't give credit unless it's due. And the guests we have on routinely are the people that have the best track records. And I got to say, out of all the guests, and we have people that are dead on, it's crazy. Kyle, just finishing up with this briefly before we get the can of so and stuff that's so important. You have continued to nail all this. You literally looked at the geolocation pings, said it's off by a mile. Now we have the car. It's obviously that car, that color, that year. He's a DoorDash driver. They've set him up. We all predicted here. I bet he's mentally retarded or autistic. He is. That's how they have the diagnosis. They have the records. You see him pulled over by police, you know, completely autistic, poor thing. Still out there working hard. Conscientious, no criminal record. You know, family couldn't even believe it when they said this. And this all comes after we have information that it's a Capitol Police officer is the main suspect. Then magically this comes out. And then now they do all this bait and switching, trying to move the court hearings around, not wanting to show cause. I mean, this is a spectacular scandal. And again, I don't do this with pleasure. Some of my listeners are like, why are you undermining Trump? We're not the ones undermining it. This is a clown show, and you nailed it. I didn't know if you were right 10 months ago. You said, no, they're not even really nefarious. They just want to be Hollywood people. They want to make money. They want to be famous. And whether it's Bondi, Patel, or Bongino, that's all come out now. They literally have these advisors under them that are setting them up every time. Aren't they smart enough to know everything they step into? The Epstein, the Charlie Kirk killing, the Pennsylvania situation. Every single time. It is like Wile E. Coyote with the Roadrunner dropping the anvil on their head. Aren't they smart enough to figure this out? And then have you ferreted out who the hell's giving them this advice you predict would happen?
I don't know who's giving them the advice. I mean, it's obviously mid-level people in the Hoover building that you're never going to hear their names. This is the advantage of being somebody that's kind of an anonymous bureaucrat. This is always the way the FBI's operated. You get the, that's why they don't tell the director everything. So the director has plausible deniability. And if they end up looking bad, it's like, well, I didn't know that. And who did? It's like some person you've never heard of. So the people that are going to be, that would theoretically be embarrassed by being wrong about this are never going to be public figures that you're ever going to recognize. Their life will continue on. They'll go get another job when they retire. They'll be fine. And these guys, Battelle, Bongino, they're going to have their reputations destroyed. Bondi will fall into the same sort of scenario. If you walk out there and you make claims like the Southern District of New York was hiding files from me about Epstein, what you're saying is my subordinates are not actually subordinate to me. It's the same problem that you have with this this question of the FBI. If you say, well, we were briefed on the files and it turns out all that is wrong, that just means you don't know who to trust. And so that's, I think, the broader problem that I've been trying to highlight for people. This is not a personal animosity thing. This is a very simple discussion of if you're not an investigator and if you are willing to take people's words that you have no reason to trust and you've literally been bad-mouthing for 8+ years and then you're going to go into a building and let them kiss your ass and then you're going to believe what they say, you deserve to be set up with something stupid because that's what's going to happen to you. People are going to look at you and go, okay, you're a dummy. You're not an investigator. You're not going to go read the file yourself. You don't even know how to do that. So we're going to go out here. We're going to brief you whatever we want. We're going to give you a bad person and it's going to fall apart when it's on cross-examination by anybody with even a little bit of scrutiny. And maybe you get lucky. Maybe they got lucky and they get a bad defense attorney. But instead what they got is some guys that were former United States attorneys. You got people that were working out of the United States Attorney's Office in Nashville and Tennessee that are apparently absolute studs. I've had multiple recommendations, people that are politically a little bit more on the left, people on the right, people who worked with them as federal investigators that said these guys are the real deal and they're going to shred this thing. And by the way, they're not going to take the case unless they think they can win. And now they're going in and they're going to destroy this thing. The only choice the DOJ had was to throw this Hail Mary and go to the lower court and a lower grand jury and try to get an indictment in Superior to try to move the ball away from.
Yeah, let's be clear. They didn't indict this guy before they arrested him. They just put him all in a bow. Didn't even think about the next steps. Now you're going to have to show the proof. And the family's like going, this is insane. This guy's
That's
like
right. That's exactly what the family said.
And again, it's the old joke. The whole crew said, I bet he's autistic or retarded before he even knew he was a black guy or whatever. Because back to firebombing the Reichstag in February 27, 1933, how Hitler was elected, became dictator, firebombing, and it came out later, they found a mentally retarded homeless man, Marinus Vanderlib, and had a trial and executed him. I mean, it's the oldest trick in the book.
It's a very old trick. That's exactly it. And the FBI continues to use that trick, by the way. They just got an announcement yesterday about a guy who was apparently supporting ISIS out of Midlothian, Texas. You and I know where that is. It's not an ISIS hotbed. The guy was a Mexican-American, last name Garza, and he started interacting online saying he wanted to go do some bombing and send money to support ISIS. And so, of course, the only person that was interested in taking his money is a freaking undercover cop who works for NYPD on the JTTF for the FBI. So all of these things end up being setups. But this one specifically is really damaging because it's one of the three big cases that Dan Bongino hung his hat on walking in. In his first interview, sitting with Kash Patel, they said they were going to solve these problems. They were going to find the coke at the White House. They didn't do that. They were going to find out who leaked the Dobbs decision. They didn't do that. They were going to solve the pipe bomber case, which was the most terroristic thing that happened. And it's the reason why some of the sentencing enhancements and some of the really bad outcomes happened for J6ers. And they hung it on a guy who's an autistic guy that had nothing to do with the government, despite years and years of these dudes saying, and these dudes being Patel and Bongino, saying it was an inside job, it involved members of government, and so on and so forth. And the first thing they do is they panic when an independent journalist organization comes up and says, by the way, we found someone that meets all the descriptions that you think. They're a member of the government, they got moved, they work for the CIA, they meet the gate analysis, they had proximity to it, they seem to have the right analysis.
FBI after on January 6th thought to stick you at the house where they were at.
That's right. And exactly. 1 week after the fact. Now, here's the other crazy thing. In their last filing that DOJ put out there, they just put out a request to detain this guy. They mentioned that in the confession, it's the first time we've had a chance to look at what the confession of Brian Cole Jr. looked like. They talk about how he admitted all these things, that he admitted that he parked his car in a place where, you know, it looks like his car is actually driving at the time he should have been parked. Apparently, they said that he saw himself on the news walking around in the pipe bomber hoodie, deal. And then he threw away all the bombing material. They also say that he threw away the shoes. So the major things that the FBI was hanging their hat on, these Nike Speed Turf shoes that were real specific, he just got them worn out and threw them away. Apparently he also was like scared, so he threw away all of his bomb making material. But what they also say in the filing, which I think is crazy, is that 3 weeks after January 6th, after the successful delivery of these pipe bombs and nothing happens, Apparently, he's back to buying bomb-making equipment because he bought more of the pipes, he bought more of the timers, he bought more of the wire and the alligator clips and so on. So he started buying all the stuff that he supposedly threw away in a dump, according to the confession, less than three weeks after January 6th. Well, it's completely insane.
Promise you'll come on tomorrow. Real fast, we got a lot to get into here, and I appreciate your time, Carl Serafin. You know I'm not a troublemaker. In fact, I've even counseled you, not like I'm your superior, but I've said when you kind of punch down a little bit, even though you think it's legitimate, like, we don't need that. I have a real thing about it. The Candace Owens I've had to do, and I've got all her people mad at me saying, why are you doing this? We're not going to support you. Well, fine. I had to go investigate the Egyptian planes, because if it was true, this is big. I had to go investigate, or, you know, with all these TPUSA people with 12 colonels and a skiff at Huachuca planning to kill them. And I know that's not how it works, but I went and looked it up, and it was total horse crap. They all got alibis. Then they flip and say, we don't want alibis. We didn't say you did it. Now you did do it. And you know, now the congressman's on the floor at 11, which is 8 at that time. She's had to admit last night, no, the congressman's innocent. Oh, and then their star witness is like the most classic con man. They could make a Catch Me If You Can movie about this guy. I mean, it would take hours to go into what a horrible person. As soon as I saw him, my skin crawled. Then I searched his name with all these sob stories and scams and women kidnapped him and locked him in garages and broke all his bones and he falls off mountains and breaks his bones and then he's running a thing for veterans to take him to Cancun and it's for him. I mean, it's just stolen valor, all of it. I mean, you couldn't get a worse person. And then she's like, no, he's good. He's great. And then Erica Kirk the night before is at the Huachuca. And then Candace says to Mitch Snow, oh, this is her old boyfriend from, Daily Wire. Did you see him? And he goes, I did see him too. So it's like made to order. It just, I mean, you could not make up. So Candace comes off as smart. I've known her for 10 years. She's done a lot of good work. She is looking a little more lunatic in the eyes, I have to say. But, I mean, the idea that you could sell thinking people on this and how she's roped in all these people into a soap opera and then they go, you're covering up an FBI cover-up. I'm like, no, we exposed the Cash Patel said don't look at accomplices. I broke that out of the White House. That was confirmed later. I'm like, no, this thing about Fort Huachuca is insane.
I agree.
And now full-on giant attack. And then she says, I never said they were planning anything there. And she goes, and I never said they were hid where he's buried. And we have all the clips of her saying they hid where he's buried. She is, and what's crazy, Kyle, I'll shut up, is that what's blowing me away is now this is giving me like a headache. Like I feel crazy even watching it. Her followers, even when you show a clip of her saying they hid his body, they hid where he's buried, appears I never said that to somebody else. Or her saying, yeah, they obviously, you know, killed him. They had to get rid of him, the king. I never said that. That's insane. It's like the worst lying ever. I don't want to lie. I get things a little wrong. My listeners crucify me. She is allowed, I guess she's a woman or whatever, to just the most absurdist bullshit, flip-flopping. I mean, she's a hole-in-one when it comes to lying. So I'm going to shut up. You're a really smart guy. What the hell do you think is going on here? Because this is a fiasco.
I'll give you the same advice you gave me, which is that this is beneath you at this point, and I don't think it's worth trying to defend it. And unfortunately, you get roped into it because somebody puts your credibility on the line and you're out there. Here's how it works. InfoWars audience, you guys should know this. So somebody makes a claim, then they have to back it up. I come on here and say, I think Brian Cole Jr. is innocent. I think they got the wrong guy. I'm convinced he was a mile away. I bring you evidence. You evaluate it. You decide whether or not it's evidence of him driving a mile away. We can show you where those cars and where those cameras came from. That's how you do this. If you make a claim that a bunch of people were in a room doing it, then you better have some evidence other than some random guy said that happened. So that's the simple thing. The problem that I've seen with a lot of the Candace stuff, and people get really emotionally involved in the story, and even friends of mine have out there and they've gotten behind it. All my friends that are sensible, that don't have a dog in the fight. And that's the way it is. I got no dog in the fight. I don't care about TPUSA. I wasn't friends with Charlie Kirk. I didn't know him. I met him one time. He seemed like a really nice man. He didn't have the same values that I have. I don't have any vested interest one way or another. I'm happy to crucify the FBI if the FBI is wrong. The FBI is not running that case. The case is being, you know, dealt with at the local level. As far as I know, the FBI cover-up is all based on whether or not there's foreign influence and whether that's happening online. And that's what you've talked about. That's what I've talked about. When it comes to the Candace Owens claims, I've seen so many montages of people showing back to back of her saying things and then changing it. If someone keeps moving the goalpost and your job is to excuse this person, she's running an audience right now. And there's a very excited audience that loves to hear what she has to say because it's salacious. It's exciting. They feel like they're part of working a case. I've got friends that have told me we're working on the Charlie Kirk case. I posted an entire episode on my podcast. You are not an investigator. You do not have access to the information. You do not have the ability to go and run this case. And if you did, you would have like some sort of legal charter and you'd be working in law enforcement. So anybody who wants to go solve cases, I encourage you to sign up for your local law enforcement. Stay away from federal. They suck. I'm not a big fan of them as it stands, but it's wild to see somebody basically never be accountable for the things they've said previously. And if anybody, they can explain it away, but you can't. So you're not going to be able, this is like the tar baby for you, Alex.
It's a black hole. Just, no, I agree. I'm going to cover it a little
more. It's the tar baby. The more you fight with the tar baby, the more you get tar on you. This is the Brer Rabbit story. You put the tar baby out there. It doesn't say anything. And the more you fight it, all they got to do is sit still. She can change her position all day long. Nobody seems to care. That's her business. If people want to be following down an exciting rabbit hole of learning this, this, you know, paranoid delusion, which is what it looks like to me, or I can't really decide with Candace. She's either very disingenuous or she actually believes it. And either one of them, it doesn't really make a difference
Here's what they do. I say, I really have been forced to do this figure of speech. They go, oh, he's been forced. No, I mean, I have to because it's a lie. I explain why I'm forced. Or I say, I'm really worried about you. You need to be careful. This guy's a con man. Oh, that's a threat. Or I say, I called TPUSA. I had them send me documents and photos. And they go, oh, you're in the cover up with them. No, I'm investigating. Right. You're saying these people are at a base planning his murder. What the hell do you expect me to do? I've been forced to go investigate. And then when I investigate, I'm involved in a cover up.
I call it the unfalsifiable premises of the internet neo-Gnostics, right? They have secret knowledge that you can't have access to. They're going to tell you about the secret knowledge, but they don't have to prove it to you. And if you debate it, it's unfalsifiable because whatever you say can be easily moved. So this is not an argument anybody can win. Listen, folks, if you want to believe that, if that makes you turn, you're not going to solve the murder. You're not going to change anything in the outcomes. You're not going to have access to all the evidence. We've even heard from the guy who's alleged to have done it, that the FBI's got under custody, that the information that they are dealing with is so voluminous that they couldn't even have like their hearings. It took them months to get to it. If you think you know more without having access to the people who were there and the video footage, and if you're out there believing exploding things, and you know, I don't know about the Egyptian planes or what the hell, all that stuff.
Yeah, but notice even Tyler Robinson came out 3 weeks ago in the trans flag, smiling, trying to cover up his smile, so proud of himself, looks like a total psychotic villain.
Right.
And you have his parents crying behind him. And you have all his friends saying, oh yeah, Kirk will be dead tomorrow. We're not supposed to look at any of that. It's like, here it is, right?
All you have to do is, the more people you get involved in a conspiracy, the more difficult it is to keep it under wraps. This is why the potential conspiracy of January 6th is so effective. Because the argument is not that there are hundreds of people in the government that have made it happen. We've identified basically a handful of people. You've got somebody at FBI right now that's controlling information. His name is Marshall Yates. I'll just name him. There's a guy that's hanging out at Capitol Police. He's the one who found the bomb. And he also is now the liaison to the FBI. So there's a really tight little circle. You had the guy that was the ATF on-scene commander for the bomb squad. He moved into the position of Yogananda Pittman. You're talking about five or six people. The minute you start getting beyond like a tiny little table, like a coffee table size conspiracy, then things start leaking unless you're very, very compartmentalized. And if you think a compartmentalized operation that's being run by either a foreign intelligence cell or otherwise is being uncovered by Candace Owen, the podcaster, nothing against podcasters. I am one right now, right? That just means that you don't understand how these work.
Well, let's explain. I've read a lot of history books. I've had a lot of people, Delta Force, all of them, that actually do government assassinations. And the point is, and we've seen the Frank Church Committee and all of it, you don't have 12 colonels in a skiff. You don't have some bum gets in it. They don't have
that high ranking.
They don't have giant groups of people in on a killing. When real army assassins that are, say, killing Russian agents or something back during the Cold War, they would, even their bosses wouldn't even tell them in person. They would literally tell them, go to a drop site, and they would have a file on who to kill. So, I mean, the government doesn't, you know, I mean, it's beyond the mafia going, you know, let me take care of that problem. The idea that you go into this thing and there's this giant meeting with all these people and they're all on the stage killing Kirk, it's insane. That's not how conspiracies work.
Well, this is how you know that these are not how people are that are professionals kill people, because we don't have any other examples of it going back for at least the last 40 years. You got to go back into the 70s to see people with a rifle taking those shots. And what happened is the intelligence communities and the capabilities there, they've evolved. They've got more sophisticated tools. They've got better capabilities for patsies. They have more deniable, easy ways to do it. If they want to have a public killing, they'll do it really publicly and gross. And if they don't, then you'll never even know that it was an assassination. It'll just be a car accident that happened and some semi T-boned you and the guy fell asleep at the wheel. He doesn't know why or whatever. There are ways that things go and there are ways that things don't go. And what you don't get is some guy randomly running around on the rooftop, taking a shot with an old rifle and dropping some guy in front of a bunch of people. and then having a whole bunch of other professionals involved in that, because why on earth would you let that guy live? It's, I mean, the Occam's razor part needs to come in at some point in time where people sensibly argue, does it even plausibly make sense to have this many people involved? And to what end? I always want to know when people hit me up, and I know you get the same thing, because every time I'm on InfoWars, people email me and they tell me their crazy story. And I want to know, why you? What's the purpose? What's the end result of whatever it is that you think's going on? And, you know, you have to make some pretty sophisticated arguments.
Well,
you got to make a lot of logical leaps.
Investigating. I'm all for investigating. I have questions. But you don't get a famous con artist with an insane story that keeps changing and do that. Thank you so much. You got any questions for Carl Serafin?
No, I just want to reiterate exactly what Carl Serafin said, because he nailed it in two parts. One is that nothing Candace Owens has ever presented, and I've watched a lot of Candace Owens. I do a 3-hour show. I have to news gather every single day. I would love for her to present something that I can turn around and show to the audience and go, look, a bombshell. So I've watched hours of her content. None of it is falsifiable. As you said, it's all unfalsifiable. It's all rumor. It's all innuendo. There's nothing to sink your teeth into. There's nothing to disprove or prove. It's just nothing. So.
And it hinges on a known con man.
And that's the other thing, is that the accusation, and she can dance around and she can say, oh, I never said that. Everybody gets the accusation was there was this big planning meeting the day before and Erica Kirk was there. You are accusing Erica Kirk of having pre-knowledge, of having foreknowledge of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. That is a very big claim, and it requires very.
And then she jumps back and goes, no one's saying that. Her surrogates are saying they killed him. She says that she thinks they killed the king to replace him. And then she says she didn't.
Well, and the only evidence she has for any of this is the eyewitness testimony of this guy who is clearly a lifelong con man and not to be trusted. And she's like, well, why are they digging into his past? Because the only evidence you've offered is his eyewitness testimony.
Oh, I know. When we investigate and find nothing but lies, we're involved in the cover-up.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, right? Because, and again, as Kyle Serafin says, it's the same question I always ask. People are like, you sold out. And it's like, to whom and for what? What do you even think is going on? It's like, I don't even
know. Well, number one, you're not a big fan of Israel. You'd be more than happy to blame them.
Well, you know,
if there was evidence,
I was the first person in the world to say it was Israel, because I'd had that information.
Well, you said it before.
Yeah, before he was murdered.
In fact, that was the most viral thing for like a week.
For a really long time.
But that's because you work for Netanyahu.
And I explained, 2 days after, I explained the reasoning why I thought it could have been Israel. Ever since then, I have to admit, there's not been a lot of evidence. This is not unfolded in a way that this being an international conspiracy. It's just how it's been. And I got to go.
Kyle, go ahead.
Boys, this is the target. Baby, it's a tar baby. The more you punch it, the more dirty you get, the more sticky it gets,
We're gonna put bookends on this in the next few days.
there's no way you win, unfortunately, because people are gonna believe what they want to believe. And if it took 31 years for you to sell out, Alex, and now you finally there, and like that's what it is. People that are like, I've watched you for 20 years, you finally betrayed me. It's like, look, people, you've lost your shit. I'm sorry that you're that way. It's a funny thing to say. You don't actually know Alex Jones. You haven't actually met Alex Jones. If you meet him, then nobody thinks that. Nobody who knows you personally would think that's the case. Does it mean that you get everything right? No, but it's just a silly thing for people to claim. Nobody who's ever met me thinks I care about Israel or what happens in Palestine or anything else. I don't give a shit. I really don't. I couldn't care less what happens to either one. I did a conversation with a guy who was Jewish the other day. I said, if I found out tomorrow that, Israel nuked Iran, and they were gone. They were wiped off the map. I'd be like, oh, and I would eat Cheerios. And if I found out that Iran nuked Israel and there was no more Israel, I would probably have bacon in the morning and I wouldn't think twice about it. None of that would affect me in any way. So these people that make these claims, they don't know us personally. They have this like, they've invested themselves in a relationship with Candace Owens at this point. And they've gone down this fun, exciting journey of this fake investigation, which is what it is. You can ask questions all you want. Do it all you want, but if you are not able to withstand any scrutiny and the proof always has to go on the person asking the questions, you made an allegation. You must substantiate allegations with fact. This is the same problem that DOJ is facing right now. You made an allegation that somebody's a pipe bomber. You don't have the facts to back it up and you're not willing to do it in an adversarial way with a court. You are the liar. And I think that's what people should understand. If you can't bring all of, they call it receipts, but let's call it what it is. It's evidence. You need to have evidence that other people can critically evaluate and go, got it. I see why you came to that conclusion. I come to the same conclusion.
Oh, so many of them. I've probably seen this 1,000 times. They go, why are you doing this? Why are you investigating Candace? Why don't you leave this alone? And I'm like, she said there's a meeting with all these people to kill him. if it's true, and then I investigate it's not true, you expect me to not investigate? And then I come back and say, this isn't true. This is crazy. This guy's a crazy man. And then I'm the bad guy. And they just come back and say, why don't you want to investigate? I do want to investigate. I do think he had help. You had now it's 10 people saying he'll be dead tomorrow in the town in 10 seconds. Why aren't they being hauled before the court?
They might be. I think they will be. We haven't gone to trial with this case, and it's going to be public when it does. So people will hear it, or the FBI is not going to allow people to step on their turf. This is also a turf war on the federal law enforcement side, which is the bigger story that you and I have been talking about. And that should be the thing people get upset about. It's not as sexy as Egyptian planes or secret meetings, but it turns out bureaucratic people trying to keep their turf is actually one of the real dangers that we face
in
America.
Absolutely, Kyle. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much. We're going to come back into your talk with Candace last night. Thank you, Kyle.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best. Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com, 50% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones. Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Job last night calling in on Candace's spaces slash multi-stream thing, and I mean literally it's a war on logic, and I'll be honest, I kind of wish I hadn't investigated what she was saying, because I thought it might be true. I didn't think she was bad, and then I came out and said, hey, this isn't true, I'm your friend, you're being set up, and they all went after me, and then it got worse and worse what we found out about it, and the story changes so much. I feel like I've lost a friend. I mean, I feel like I've lost a cousin or something here. And I've been mean about it, because it really upsets me. I get emotional about this, because the murder of logic and then all the nasty constellation of what I call her ring race, who are so deceptive and lie and misrepresent what we're saying and what we're doing. And there you are talking to her, but at least she admits Congressman Amidei, because her own minions put up 245 timestamps in Congress on September 9th, said, no, he must have flown from Huachuca. No, he's there at 11 a.m., which is 8 a.m. that time. So, but they're still back on the head of TPUSA security. And so we've been talking to them. They go, ooh, you're talking to them. Yeah, we're investigating. They're going to go ahead and just get, you know, the home ring footage, even though they get, and all the stuff and witnesses and them at the airport and the timestamps and all of it. And then they're going to, because of the money they got to spend, just one more lawsuit for Candace. Because, I mean, you're saying people are murdering folks. And then you're saying you're not saying that. But you are, and your surrogates are saying it. And so you really caught her in this, and I wish she would have stopped. This is really sad. You got a bunch of clips. You got the floor, Harrison Smith, ahead of a special guest in here next hour. And I know Patrick Byrne's got huge breaking news. I double booked, but just go ahead, Harrison.
Yeah, you know, I appreciated Candace inviting me on the space. She's obviously a very big, you know, I know you don't like the word influencer, but, you know, she's a very big person in the space. I'm not really like emotional about it, but it does frustrate me to no end. The lack of logic, the inconsistency, the way stories change. It's just frustrating beyond belief. And I almost have this compulsion to like, I have to justify it all. I have to figure out what is actually being said, what I can sink my teeth into. And as I keep saying, and as we keep saying, we would love for this to be true. Can you imagine the field day that we would have if we had like bombshell evidence of a pre-planning meeting of the assassination of one of the most prominent leaders on the right wing, the biggest political assassination in 40 years? We would love if it was true. It ain't true. Like every incentive we have is to run with this story, is to tell this story, is to pretend like it's true. That's actually what we're incentivized to do, because it would make a great story. But we're obliged, because we're truth tellers and because we have to go with where the truth leads us, to say, this isn't adding up. This doesn't make any sense. And what you're saying isn't true. And up until now. So again, I'm not emotional about it, but it's so convoluted. It's so confusing that it gives me heartburn. Because if they are accusing Erica Kirk and Brian Harpole of being at a pre-planning meeting for the assassination, that is a big claim. And that is the claim that's being made. Now, they'll go into semantics, say, well, no. We said Erica Kirk was at the hotel the day before with somebody who was at the meeting, but she wasn't seen at the actual meeting. It's like, okay, so is the claim that Erica Kirk just happened to be on the base for a different reason that wasn't at the meeting? No. Obviously, the insinuation, the blatant, obvious insinuation is Erica Kirk had foreknowledge of the assassination. She was involved in the planning of the murder of Charlie Kirk. That is a big accusation. That's like a very bombshell, hardcore accusation. Up until now, Candace Owens has not made that accusation. I know 2 weeks ago, Ben Shapiro was on stage with Megyn Kelly and said, you know, Candace Owens is accusing Erica Kirk of killing Charlie Kirk. And Megyn Kelly's like, what? She is? At that point, I would have said no. She hasn't made that. She's said she's suspicious of TPUSA. She says that everybody's around Charlie Kirk has betrayed him. But she never, you know, went so far as to actually, you know, charge Erica Kirk with being involved in any way ahead of the assassination. That had not been made before. So this is a major claim that she made. So people are reacting to it. Because if you're going to make a claim that severe, then you better have evidence to back it up. And if the only evidence you have to make this claim is the witness testimony of some guy, then looking into that guy, looking into whether that guy is trustworthy, is a perfectly valid course of investigation. Because that's all you have. All you have is his word. Well, how valuable is his word? How, you know, trustable is his word? And if it turns out that he's got accusations of being a lifelong con man and wife beater, maybe he's not the guy that you want to put all, you know, your eggs in his basket. You don't want to make this very strong, severe claim on the basis of his word. So the where it gets convoluted is Candace comes out with this revelation, which she says in very, again, blatant ways, this is going to lead to, you know, forcing the U.S. military to having to admit that they were involved in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I mean, there's no ambiguity about it. She is making the claim that this was a pre-planning meeting about the assassination. Erica Kirk and Brian Harpole were there. That is a big accusation. She's making that accusation on the basis of this guy. So then everybody goes, what the hell? You can't just make that accusation. Because I know everybody in Candace's camp is pretty firmly established. Like, they're running on the assumption that Erica Kirk is involved and TPUSA is involved and the whole thing is corrupt. And that may be true. That very well may be true. There may be aspects to that that are true. But you also have to take into account, you have to make allowance for the possibility that Erica Kirk is just a widow, that she didn't have anything to do with it, and she's doing the best she can. And even though you don't like the way she does it, that is a possibility, right? There is some amount of probability that at the end of all of this, Erica Kirk is just an innocent victim whose husband was murdered. And you have to make allowance for that and go, if that is still a possibility, then we really gotta be careful about what we accuse her of, because that's really not a good thing to do. Accuse a grieving widow of murdering her husband on the basis of a vaguely remembered 3-month-old recollection from a guy who is untrustworthy. Okay, so Candace says, well, this wasn't a big deal. I didn't want to make this a big deal. Okay, that's a lie, and I'll show you the clip where she makes this a very, very big deal right out of the gate. But she says, I didn't think this was that big of a deal. I thought maybe some, maybe you didn't. But then the reaction, oh, man, then the reaction, everybody got so mad. And it's like, whoa, why is everybody so mad about this? Whoa, maybe there is something to this. And it's like, no, everybody had a big reaction to this because this accusation is different than any other accusation she's ever made. I mean, she's made accusations that, oh, he's lying about this text message. He's lying about this thing in particular. Okay, well, you can debate that. You can argue that. But to make the accusation that Erica Kirk had foreknowledge of the assassination is a big claim. And it's different than any claim she's made before. So it had a different reaction. And the investigation into the witness is perfectly valid. Now, throughout all of this, I knew going into the space, I'm not going to change any minds. I know what the deal is. I know I'm... And no offense to the people there, because I do like some of the people that were in the space. I like some of the people that, you know, we're interacting with. This is a cult. I'm sorry. I'm going into the cult. I'm going into the cult. I know I'm not going to convince people that I'm right and the dear cult leader is wrong. So that was never my intention. But I did want to explain why this reaction is coming, why people are treating this case with the Fort Wachaca different than anything else, because the accusation is so much more than anything else. And many of the other accusations made that coincide with the main accusation have already been proven to be false. For example, Mark Amadai, the representative who they claimed was there because she just was, I guess, going through a deck of cards with pictures of congressmen saying, stop when you see the guy you saw. She was just going through pictures. Was it him? No. Was it him? No. Was
and
it
remember,
no.
She sends Erica's old boyfriend later. And she saw him too.
And now he was there too. So that's my question is, okay, if Mark Amadai has an alibi, if he's proven not to be there, I guess we got to present more pictures. Like, let's find another congressman he can identify. Maybe that congressman won't have an alibi. And so he'll be presumed guilty, right? Like, well, what is this?
This is beyond the Salem witch trials.
It's not a way you conduct an investigation. So if you actually care about getting to the bottom of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, you would not go down this route. You would not make these mistakes.
But it's a black hole purposely to debate absolute crap. She could just pick schizophrenic emails she gets, says she had a dream, and then just do this. You have Erica Kirk with the alibi. Both days, they've got it all. You've got the head of security flying out at 145. He's got more stuff he's going to bring out. And you watch when he does that, they're not going to even look at it. Well, and then they change it all to the 8th thing. It was never about the 9th. She goes, I'm not wanting alibis. I never asked for alibis. The hell you didn't? And then when people present them, you go, oh, why are you covering up? Why are you coordinating? Like, why is Alex talking to TPUSA? Because I'm calling him up. before I ever, 2 weeks ago, said, Candace, you need to, you know, this guy's a liar. We already knew the record of the guy, got more. We already knew about the alibis. And I was like trying to warn her. And they go, oh, the FBI has asked you to do this. No, Cash Patel is covering up the accomplices. Okay. You have the guy down there saying, I shot him as a diversion so Tyler Robinson can get away. They don't want to look at that. That's the hardcore real stuff. So go to we're running out of time here. Go to the clip of you bringing this up to her.
Yeah, well, let's go first to clip number clip B here, because this is the Mark Amadi thing. This is like, okay, this was an aspect. They accused this guy of being involved in the murder. Here he has an alibi. This is the way, you know, the reaction
is on C-SPAN
to the actual video footage disproving her claim. Let's watch.
Mark Amadi did, I do want to say as an update, I scrubbed through looking for roll calls, and then somebody indicated to me that they see him in his chair. He missed the roll call for some reason, but early on in the video, I agree, it does look like Mark Amadi. So that might be, it could be him, and we're looking for somebody else who looks like Mark Amadi. And I also think his height is wrong on Google. I don't think he looks like he's 5'9". So Mark Amadi might be completely, like off the hook on that.
Okay, all right. So
let's stop there. He's all over the videos. He's speaking. He's there at 11 a.m. It's him. Okay, but let's stop right there. She's the Grand Inquisitor. She makes the accusation, and she's like, yeah, maybe I'll let you off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the arrogance here.
No apology, no reevaluation of the evidence, no, like, okay, well, that was wrong. Maybe these other ones.
By the way, you were too nice about snow. Well, by the way, he picked the name snow, snow job. Look at the definition. What does a snow job mean? Pull it up on screen, people. Literally what they're doing. This guy has dozens of restraining orders, 5 different women, 3 wives, his adult children, how he tortured them, beat them up, fractured women's skulls. He's in police reports admitting that he bashed women's skulls in. Okay, he's a 250-pound Green Beret. He was a Green Beret for a year in engineering, not in medics. He didn't fall off a cliff. He hurt his back when he was drunk. It's all in the reports.
Yeah.
It's, this guy is a... He had a thing for veterans that are wounded to get to go to the Caribbean and would get money and take trips down there for himself to Cancun. I mean, the guy is a scumbag. He said he was medically retired. That's not true. Stolen valor. We have his military report. A deception or concealment of one's real motive in an attempt to flatter or persuade.
Wow.
All right.
That's very interesting. Well, no, but you're exactly right. And what people will say in response to that is, well, just because a guy has a checkered past doesn't disprove this accusation here. Just because he's lied before doesn't mean he's lying about this. But if you had any other evidence, you would present that. If all you have is this guy, if all you have is his evidence, then all you're banking on is his trustworthiness. So, of course, that's what's going to be questioned. It's the same thing that they do in courtrooms. If a witness gets up, you try to impeach the witnesses.
Well, I mean, under this system, we get millions of emails a month. The schizophrenics send us stuff. I could literally bring any schizophrenic on I wanted and just have some huge, say, well, it's not me. They're saying it.
If I was running an intelligence agency right now, do you have any idea how many emails I'd be sending to Candace Owens? I mean, I'd be dropping fishhook after fishhook just seeing what she would bite on. Cause yeah, she says, okay, I go and check my email. They say this is happening. I put the guy on and lend him my credibility.
Meanwhile, Cash Patel is covering up everything.
Right.
The pipe bombing, Butler, Kirk. Epstein, and we're all, again, they're talking about is you, it's a unified thing with all her minions. You don't want an investigation. You agree with the FBI. No, I don't. I don't agree with that con man on the screen. And we gave her the benefit of the doubt 2 weeks ago to pull out of this, and she doubled down. Go to your next clip.
Yeah, let's go to,
I like it when you get her on the point of, oh no, I never said, no one's saying that this was a kill meeting. Well, what is it?
Yeah, that, again, the
and we have the compilations of her. He was the king. They wanted to take him out. They stand to gain.
Well, even in the space yesterday, you know, because I kept saying, like, what is the claim here? Because if the claim is this was an assassination meeting, then you have to take that into account with people's reaction and all of that. But, and even in the space yesterday, they said, well, we know we think that this was happening behind Charlie's back, that this was a secret meeting that he wasn't privy to because it was all part of this betrayal of Charlie Kirk that culminated in his assassination. So it was an assassination.
Well, I'll give you a little secret.
You won't say
TPUSA doesn't want to engage the Tar Baby. They got what Charlie really had to say about old Candace.
Right.
And I'm telling them, just drop the bombs.
Yeah.
And they'll go, that's a threat. No, I mean, figuratively.
No.
Let's go to the next club.
I do, but I do wish TPUSA would sort of fight back against this.
No, they're getting ready to do it.
But then again, if I was them, I would probably ignore her too. So I don't actually exactly know. Let's go to clip C here. This is, the fact that, as you're saying, you provide an alibi, that's suspicious. You don't provide an alibi, you're guilty. But if you provide an alibi, whoa, why are you providing an alibi? That's kind of weird. Let's go to clip C.
Brian Harpole was acting funny. He's been acting weird. He's been telling verifiable lies. And he cared enough to present an alibi, meaning he didn't want people to think he was there, right? So if you have to, give someone an alibi, it's because you don't want people to think that you're there. There is an alibi is not needed if there's nothing to hide. So that's why it matters. I think that's why it matters. And the reaction, this reaction, rather than being forthcoming, is why it suddenly feels like, okay, this is important, because no one's acting normal. No one's just like, oh yeah, cool, he was there. Like, it also is, as we have now learned, it's an intel base.
Oh, it's an intel base on the border. What do you think's there? So she also tried to distract with Undersecretary of Defense flying in, planned since July, a border tour. Now it's the 8th, not the 9th. So here's the thing. What are the lies Brian Harpole told? And then, you know, talking to them, they're like, what's the one thing he's got? 145 flying out the airport, gets to the airport about noon. You know, he's got his family. He flew with a big security team. That's where they're mainly based, in Dallas. And they're like, okay, I guess we'll go get our Ring cameras and get our, all right. And then they're like, but we don't know we should do that. She'll say that's not real. Like when the congressman's on C-SPAN, they go, that's not real. And everybody goes to the live stream and goes, no, it is real. I mean, you know, it's like, this is crazy. And then you provide an alibi that you're in Dallas. And again, if he gets to the airport at noon, that's, 10 o'clock there, but I guess he flew back, and you know, it's wild.
No, it just
makes, and so we're gonna prove the Harpole thing. Oh, you want the 8th on Erica Kirk? They're gonna release that for you, and it's just gonna be, and you watch, they're gonna keep changing the subject.
Yeah, well, that is what they do. And so again, that clip had two things, right? It had the fact that, well, he presented an alibi. That's sort of evidence that he's guilty right there. Why would you present an alibi if you didn't care if you were there? So, you know, there's that, which is absurd in the first place. But then she says, you know, the reason this is such a big story, the reason why I'm sticking on Fort Wachaca is because of the reaction. The reaction has made it a big deal. I didn't want to make it a big deal, but then everybody reacted. But then we can go to,
well, you claim you have smoking gun with all these people there at a kill meeting. Then you say you're not. Then people investigate and show the proof it's not true and show your source is a legendary scumbag. And then, no, it's a big deal because it's a big claim, lady.
Exactly, exactly. And she made this claim big. Let's go to clip G here. It's a short one, but this is how she started the episode when she first started talking about Fort Wachaca.
I just cannot see how this would lead to anything other than a full confession from the government about the military's involvement in his assassination, but I'm just going to deliver the facts and see where they land. Welcome back to Candace.
Okay, so she starts off the coverage of this by saying this is going to lead to a full confession of the military being involved in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. But now it's not about the assassination, and it was no big deal. It was only people's reaction.
What about the clip of her? There's a bunch of them. Where she's like, they hit him. They don't know where he's buried. Oh, it's a Catholic burial. Why are they hiding where he's buried?
Yeah, that one.
And then Piers Morgan goes, well, she had an issue with them hiding where he's buried. No, that's not me. That's somebody else.
That's what, it's all of this doublespeak. It's all of this, oh, we're going to accuse her of having foreknowledge, but I never said it was about the assassination. It's like, well, if it's not about the assassination, then why are we talking about it?
Let's remember, Erica Kirk flies to meet with her, presents her a bunch of the evidence, because they were calling me saying, well, you're the expert on conspiracies. How do we convince her? And I said, get your stuff. Show her compilations of saying they killed him. You killed him. And then she's saying not. They did that. I didn't get through all the meeting with them, but, you know, the details. I talked a little bit about them, but, and then 3 days later, she has Lunatic on to double down, and now Erica's there.
And she,
that's her answer. Oh, I'll show you, Erica. I'll show you. My star witness says you were there the night before now.
And she had talked to that guy before the meeting with Erica, so she could have brought it up at the meeting with Erica, but she didn't. Let's go to clip D here, because this is me asking why the story matters, and her basically saying it's the reaction that makes it, you know, important. Let's watch.
Thanks for having me. I guess my whole thing is, why does this meeting even matter? Like, what is the actual claim that's being made here? That's been my confusion the whole point, the whole time, is like, okay, let's say that there's absolute proof, you know, photographic evidence that everything that Snow says is true. Like, who cares? I mean, what does that prove? What is the actual accusation? Who do you think was conspiring with who to do what?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Charlie, I think, it, you know, yeah, obviously Kirk the name of the episode murder. Was, you know, the day before Charlie Kirk was murdered. The insinuation is that this was a assassination planning meeting,
yeah.
Which I don't I don't even see any evidence of that. And then people I'm arguing with online are saying, no, no, this has nothing to do with the assassination.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess, you know, if the space is why this matters, why does Fort Huachuca even matter? Like, what is the claim being made? I still don't even understand that.
So it matters because why would Brian Harpole be on Fort Huachuca at all? Right. It matters because he's giving an alibi, which means he doesn't want to be associated. Like, it could have easily not mattered, kind of, to speak to your credit. He could have been like, yeah, I was at Fort Huachuca with my brother. And my brother's in the military, are dropping off some food.
So she's saying he's at Fort Huachuca. We had your mic open. I wanted you to retweet her and send it where you're the guy, like a month before he gets killed, goes to the Ron Paul 90th birthday, talked to one of his donors saying, yeah, he was concerned Israel would kill him. So we're like, yeah, that could be legitimate. Let's look at it. You're the guy that literally put it on the map before. Now they're calling you a Mossad agent. Mr. I Love Israel Harrison Smith.
Right, I know. Well, these people clearly don't actually follow you or I or ever watch anything that we do. They don't know how to do conspiracy theories. You have to do the research first. You have to actually look into something before you make the claim, which I think is sort of the ground floor of this whole frustration. Yes, I am the one that said Charlie Kirk was afraid Israel was going to kill him. I reiterated again in an interview with Jake Shields about 2 weeks before Charlie was killed. And, you know, since then, you know, the FBI I've actually made contact with somebody from this morning. Somebody reached out to me and wanted to know who the source was. And so I helped connect them. So everybody going, why, you know, if you really heard this, which of course I did, how would I have tweeted that out a month before the assassination? Like, how would I have had that?
Well, that's because you were from Mossad. No, because you want to say they did it. But again, this is the mental illness. And so I'm just in a position of, I went and investigated. This guy was a total kook. Now these people have alibis. You say they don't. But she admits to Congressman because he's on C-SPAN at 11 a.m.
Right.
Which is 8 a.m. that time.
Yeah, I mean, my...
So her God... The God Emperor of Truth, Mitch Snow, has been proven wrong. And I love her people. They're online saying, the Mitch story is holding. We need to hold it. We need to... And watching them all double down on this.
It's your downfall. He got you. The Democrats couldn't do it. The deep state couldn't do it. Big tech couldn't even slow you down. But Mitch Snow, the hero whistleblower, Mitch Snow, finally revealed, you know, InfoWars. It's all absurd. It's all ridiculous. It's all nonsense. And people don't pay attention to anything. And then they get a little bit of information. They run with it. It's completely wrong, but they, you know, double down.
And they say that we're covering up somebody being involved. No, we're the ones that first broke. With the White House sources confirmed a month later, mainstream news, that Patel is covering up. And so what do you think really happened here? I think he had help, bare minimum.
I think he had help, bare minimum. I think that if it was some sort of international operation, then we'll never have evidence of that, because I think our authorities will cover it up for it. So I've never been expecting to find some bombshell evidence. And the more and more information that comes out, the more and more, honestly, it kind of looks like Tyler did it. I mean, as you pointed out, he's smiling. I mean, he has a defense team that's actually working for him.
Trans flag time.
The trans flag thing. I mean, his defense team is trying to actually, like, discredit the entire prosecutor team. They've asked for the entire prosecutor team to be recused because one of the prosecutors had a family member that was a witness to the event. So, like, his defense is pulling out all the stops. They are trying to do whatever they can to win for their client. Why would they not use any of this information if it was useful to them? They don't seem like they're trying to, you know, just, like, convict him, you know, really quickly.
Well, here's the deal. Candace is getting sued by the Macron. She thinks she has nothing to lose. She's married to this British lord. They're scraping all the internet data, running a big operation. They got a bunch of bots. They got a bunch of people brainwashed. And I am going to minimize coverage of her to 1 hour a week, maximum, going forward, because it is a tar baby, and I'm going to follow my own advice. I just got blown away when I thought, oh, she's being set up by Mitch Snow. Let me warn her. And they just came after me. So I was like, whoa. And so this is just very sad.
I think in 2 months, nobody is going to talk about Fort Huachuca or Mitch Snow ever again. I don't think this is.
But the question is, will they listen to her next load of crap?
And probably so, yeah. And they'll drop Mitch Snow and pretend that it never happened and say, oh, we were just looking into it. It didn't really matter, even though, you know, they'll curse you out and call you a shill if you say the same thing they're saying, which is Mitch Snow is not credible and what he witnessed.
Yeah, now they say it doesn't matter if Mitch is credible.
So why did they hate us when we said in the first place? It doesn't make any sense. It's a cult. I'm sorry. It's a cult. I'm sorry. You got to think for yourself, folks.
We got a special guest from the front lines of the war in Ukraine and more. An amazing journalist coming in. But you do 5 more minutes before she comes in.
Yes, sir.
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screams got you numb. Keep you foggy at night. They where the system plays games. From the gym to the grind to the war for your mind is a lie. Nah, this is designed. Ultimate power.
Something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexshowstore.com. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
By the way, I've done 2 hours of broadcasting unplugged. I need your support. Tonight's the last night to buy any supplement at thealexshowstore.com. You get any other supplement you choose free. That means you can buy a $25 supplement, get a $45 supplement free. Ultramethylene Blue, the very best bovine colostrum, Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox, the new beef tallow, all of it. Buy one, get one free, thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you for your support. We can't do it without you. We're funded by you. All right, Harrison, you got one more clip. You're going to be coming up in about an hour hosting the War Room. I want you to air the full 8-minute exchange with her because it's devastating. I don't mean that meanly. It's just you like pin her down. She doesn't know what to do. It's so sad.
Well, and I didn't even go in there wanting to be like, oh, I destroy Kansas, because a lot of the people that follow Candace are a lot of people that follow us, you know, and I'm not trying to call you stupid if you think it's interesting what Candace Owens is saying. I just find a logical inconsistency and sort of a logical paradox at the heart of this entire claim that needs to be sussed out if you actually want to investigate this with legitimacy in a way that can actually, you know.
Yeah, and they always say to me, and I agree, overall it's probably 60% unpopular what I'm doing. I've never made my decisions off that. I don't think ahead on how will this do for me. I do the right thing. I can't buy into a ridiculous fraud.
And obviously Candace Owens has a huge amount of support, number one podcast in the world. We would be.
Well, they've been saying that. It's not really true. That's our PR firm. But yeah, it's definitely, I would say for gossip, she's number one.
Well, but it'd be very easy to sort of play that game and play into it and cause the drama. And I mean, it would get us clicks for sure. We don't do that though. That's not what we're interested in.
Oh, I could cook up my own bullshit. Yeah.
Well, right. Yeah. We could, you know, accuse people baselessly about things and force them to give us alibis. We're not going to do that. So let's go to this clip. This was posted by Evan Kilgore, which sort of started all of this because Evan Kilgore was this, you know, lieutenant. He was one of the ring wraiths that basically had this big mea culpa. He wrote like a page long thing saying, I'm sorry, Candace. Like, I'm can't go along with you on this, you know, Mark, whatever guy.
And then when he got attacked, he said, I know it's not you, my darlings. He goes, it is me who's telling you to do this.
So that's what, so I commented on that.
Just bow to Mitch Snow. You must kiss. He's the ring you kiss.
Yeah. Well, how many major, like massive conspiracies we covered? There's never been a conspiracy where like one person is in charge. And if you go against them, you have to apologize. It's like, that's weird.
All right, go to the clip.
All right, let's go to clip F here. This is the level of gaslighting. This, Evan Kilgore posted this.
Accusation, which in effect you are, right? You're in effect saying, okay, Erica Kirk and, you know, the head of TPUSA security were at this pre-assassination planning meeting.
Erica was there. So you guys have to stop repeating that. It's Erica was never at that meeting. And that's another thing. I've never said Erica was at the meeting. Mitch has never said Erica
was at
that meeting.
But she's at the base!
There was never an indication she was at that meeting. He did not see her on September 9th. It was Brian Harpole who was at that meeting.
If you want me to say, there's a picture of Erica Kirk with a ponytail and from her past. that person matches who I saw at Fort Huachuca in the lobby the night before. And she was with that man in the lobby. And that man, he was present at that meeting the next morning. So
you had to put it at a percentage that you saw that the girl in the ponytail matches the description of Erica Kirk. What percentage would you put that at?
Those are really rare eyes. That's 95 to 99%. I
accusation, which in effect you are, right? You're in effect saying, okay, Erica Kirk and, you know, the head of TVUSA security were at this pre-assassination planning meeting.
Erica was there. So you guys have to stop repeating that. It's Erica was
all right. So this just repeats. So again, this is the type of thing where I didn't think I was going to go in and convince anybody, but I also am just trying to lay out the logical reality of like, okay, if you're accusing Erica Kirk of being part of this assassination planning, then of course people are going to react strongly to that. Of course people are going to question that. Of course people are going to be outraged by that if they're not on the same page as you. But I couldn't even get it out because as I'm saying this, she goes, well, we never said Erica Kirk was at the assassination. And it's the type of thing that I'm just so blindsided by. I'm just like, then what are we doing here? Then what is any of this about? And saying people go, you don't understand why it would be a big deal that the head of security and Erica Kirk were there. No, I understand that, but I want to know, is that the claim you're making? Because if it's not, then the question stands, what are we talking about?
And by the way, you got Patrick Byrne with huge intel on the CIA trying to sabotage Trump in Venezuela today. And you're going to get more into this with the full confrontation you had with Candace Owens, 3 p.m. in 55 minutes. All right, Elizabeth Lane, investigative journalist, frontline war reporter, in studio straight ahead. Great job, Harrison Smith. Join him in the war room, 3 p.m. today.
Alex Jones. Patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster, louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world. The future may hold. InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to alexjonesapp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
The problem is, this is when the globals can knock the power out and blame the Russians or whoever. They've already pre-programmed that. This is when they could set off a TAC nuke, try to shoot down Air Force One with surface-to-air missiles, blame Iran. This is the globalist color revolution that they've done hundreds of times around the world. Hundreds since 1947. Operation Ajax, Operation Gladio. The list goes on and on. I just keep saying, danger, danger, mortal danger to the country. Mortal danger to your future. I mean, I can physically feel the anxiety and electricity shooting up and down my body and the palpable, not fear, because that's not the feeling I feel, the feeling of ready to fight. And I'm fighting in the information war. I have electricity feeling in my teeth right now. I have to make myself not bare my teeth and bug my eyes out right now as I address you, because that's what I feel like. People want to conquer us. You want more? But I understand it's informational. So that's where I am right now. But I just showed you who I am. That's what I feel like every second right now. That's the urgency. Fauci and Gates and Schumer and Newsom want to destroy our future. Who want us to live in bondage? Who want to cut our children's penises off? You Satanist! just telling you, I've never felt so much urgency. My spider sense has never even close to this much on fire. My cells tell me I'm in a war. And to gird myself for it. And to guard myself for truth. Because we are up against the scum of the earth that will give us no quarter. This is an endless war, a fight between good and evil. And in this cycle, good is rising and good is winning, and evil can feel it in its bones. And it is rising to the challenge.
I will always believe and I will always say in public that Alex Jones is the most extraordinary person I've ever met.
I'll tell you, that f***ing guy is right about a lot of shit.
Alex Jones has been right a lot of times.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
Fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying, not good. It's crazy.
The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock.
AlexJones.network is tomorrow's news today.
Well, I gotta say, I'm proud of every broadcast we do, but Kyle Serafin nailing that it's a Patsy pipe bomber, it all coming out. Total setup, he has total alibi. His car miles away doing DoorDash while the pipe bomber, who evidence points towards the U.S. Capitol Police, is planting the bombs. All of that vindicated. Just insane. At the big court hearing, and the arraignment where they're so scared, we're going to have Ivan Ranklin, Green Beret, former Defense Intelligence Agency and lawyer, there with Harrison Smith today reporting on that. The War Room today, 3 p.m. Central. We've got Patrick Byrne, formerly the CIA. Massive news on the CIA sabotage of Trump and the Venezuela operation. That's exclusive coming up in the War Room today. He'll be back on tomorrow. We just got into so much other huge news as well. But Elizabeth Lane, I was already seeing her work, interviews with a lot of famous people around the world, like Tucker Carlson, you name it, and world leaders. And then she came here doing a documentary working with James O'Keefe a few months ago. So she wanted to do an interview. She was here. She interviewed me yesterday. That's going to be coming out soon. But I want to talk to her about her wartime reporting she's done. She's from Georgia, but been here in the U.S. you know, for a long time. And just some of the amazing things that she's seen and witnessed. Really smart lady. ElizabethLane.co. And she works, it heads up Unified TV COO. And so it's great to have you here. We were going to get into geopolitics and the world. We're still going to do that. But you, sure. We talked about this some after the show or after the interview yesterday. You want to give your view on the Candace Owens controversy, what you call that.
Absolutely. I mean, what's going on with you and Candace is very damaging, I think. And I understand your point of view and I understand where she's coming from. So I think it's important to be unbiased. I saw Harrison was here in front of me. And you know, you guys, well, he works for InfoWars, right? I would argue bias there a little bit. So my perspective on Candace is very simple. Candace is investigating her friend's death. All right. So she from the get-go told the audience that this is going to be a raw investigation. This is going to be an open investigation. I don't know what I'm diving into. Something smells about this case and I'm willing to solve it. Now, I want you to kind of take it in perspective that she's doing a show every single day. Now, it's very different when you get on, like I do that myself. I get on and I read people world headlines and I comment on multiple different things for an hour, right? It's much harder when you have one topic that you need to investigate and you need to feed your audience something every single day, all right? And you have to stay with the facts because everyone, and I've done this, who has actually done a real investigation, in any case, it doesn't matter. I worked with NYPD, Memphis PD, LAPD detectives, and everyone will tell you, especially in a criminal case, that when you're doing an investigation, there comes a time when you are on a wrong path, and you will find out eventually that it's a wrong path and wrong lead, and you're investigating wrong people, but then you put an end to it and you move on. Well, Candace gets the same right, don't you think? Like, you know, she said it from the get-go. Listen, I'm taking you on the ride here. You're coming with me. She gets a lead. She brings it on. She talks about it. Now, I've heard a couple of accusations against Candace that, well, she said Erica Kirk was part of this. Like, here's what she never said. She actually never accused Erica Kirk to be part of anything. She instigated. It might be the case. But guess what? I also don't exclude anything myself. Like, can you give your life that Erica Kirk is absolutely innocent here? No, because you don't know. Maybe 99% you can say, yeah, she's just a widow, and I don't think that we should be focusing on Erica Kirk.
Yeah, but I mean, her talking point is she's the only one investigating it. We broke the Cash Patel order to cover up of accomplices, foreign and domestic.
And did a great job on that.
My point is they keep saying things that aren't true. We looked up Mitch Snow. He has a giant criminal record, beating up all these women. All these giant stories, his kids going on air, adult children saying the man's a complete con man. He changed his name a bunch. He picks Snow as the new name, the Snowman, you know, Snow Job. And I was saying, hey, I think you're being set up, Candace. And then her surrogates and all them who coordinate with her attacked me. So that's my issue is, and then this congressman's there.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, his alibi, is it true? And then they prove he's there. He's okay, but these other guys' alibis aren't good enough. It's guilty until proven guilty. It's not just her asking questions. It's not her saying, okay, maybe TPUSA had a reason to get rid of Charlie. Let's put them in the list of suspects. You have the Democrats saying they wanted to kill him, celebrating him dying, top suspects. Let's say somebody at TPUSA wanted to get rid of him for whatever reason. They're in there.
Can we agree on basics?
I mean, this isn't an investigation and you head down rabbit trails. This is get a schizophrenic con man off the internet, make a bunch of shit up, and then we're all supposed to salute the flag.
So as soon as Mitch came on, I watched that episode. As soon as Mitch came on, I was like, I can't believe that Candace's team didn't see this, that this guy is lying. Like, my first instinct was like, if anyone knows anything about, you know, reading a person or have been in the room where you had to do it.
He made my skin crawl.
I agree. I couldn't finish the episode. I will be honest here. I couldn't finish the episode. I was like, this guy's lying. He's full of bullshit. But you have to understand, Candace is coming from an emotional standpoint here, which she's entitled to. She's entitled to be emotional. Her friend died. Mm. My best friend died in high school. I would have done anything to
You know, TPUSA took her off the website and said she wasn't associated with him over 2 years ago?
Yeah, but I mean, again, we Candace debunked that. Candace pretty much came out and said, me and Charlie were on good terms. Here are the receipts, and showed the text message and all that. I'm not even going to get into whether Candace and Charlie were good friends. I think that's not debatable. They were. And I think Charlie realized at the end of his life, before he died, he realized that, okay, I think I'm being manipulated and lied to, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to figure out what's going on.
Okay, well, here's the deal. They don't want to fight with her. They have the receipts, and they're probably going to go ahead and release them.
Well, so
far, everybody remember what you just, everybody remember all right. This, okay? So he would push her calls off to the spokesperson, but let me just finish this, saying he started breaking with Israel and criticizing them. That's not just text messages. He was public. No one's saying Israel isn't trying to take over American politics.
Yeah.
No one's saying they weren't trying to. Nobody's saying they couldn't be a suspect. What we're saying is the Wachuca thing is a dead-end rabbit trail that if I was a bad guy, I'd plant on her to discredit her, which is what I warned her of and got called a traitor.
Yes, and that I will give you. You did warn her, and you came out, and you said, like, you know, like a good Samaritan, listen, I'm investigating. I have my own options here, and, you know, maybe you should listen to me. But, again, you have to understand she is used to everyone attacking her because you know this better than anyone. You started your career. Everyone was against you. You were the same voice saying something, and everyone was calling you crazy. That's where Candace is. So when Candace...
Yeah, but I would get footage from a tip from the police of Delta Force training to take over the state capitol for martial law. By the way, Delta Force, it turned out, was the source to the police. They didn't like the mission.
And
only later did they go, hey, you know, we're the ones giving you this, because Clinton was training him for martial law. I would get footage of the black helicopters, and the local paper would say it didn't exist. They crashed in Houston, said I was crazy. I covered Bilderberg. The New York Times said he's nuts. No Bilderberg met in Virginia. Mm-hmm. The difference was I got the helicopters, the world leaders. I stayed in the hotel. They threw me out. And the media was, I had footage of the black helicopters. It's a big difference.
Alex Jones, right? She's a mother.
No, take Bohemian Grove. They first said that was fake footage. Later admit it was real. See, I went and crawled through and through, you know, sewer lines and stuff to get that.
I
delivered the goods.
Candace is working with a team that is not.
But see, the difference is I get the black helicopter on tape. The difference is I get the assault on the Capitol building on tape. The difference is I get the Bohemian Grove on tape. The difference is I don't go off some schizo online and say he says so.
Okay, so can you for a second imagine yourself in her shoes? For a second, okay? So I think she was pregnant when she started this whole thing, this series. So she's obviously not going down in the rabbit holes and, you know, shooting anything. So she's pregnant. So it's one. She has two kids.
No, I agree. And then they have psychologists go, Jones asking if she's okay is Soviet gaslighting to say she's mentally ill. Then the women all say she's postpartum. I don't say that. Nope. Nope.
No, you, again, like, you know, there are forces, Alex, that want this. You know who's happy right now? The real killers of Charlie Kirk are very happy right now because Alex Jones and Candace Owens, two independent voices, both independent, are fighting. And they cannot be happier. You cannot
Let me ask you this question, Elizabeth. Like,
yeah.
When everybody said, look into the planes, and we went and looked at the data, and it was almost all completely not right, she said, well, I was a little wrong. I'll publish the proof.
But she did say that.
I know. And then I looked at this guy, and it was 10 times worse. Am I, cause I thought it might be true. I was like, oh God, my goodness. Well, this is, you know, wow, we have the big break. And then I looked at the evidence and it didn't fit anything at any level. It didn't pass the smell test.
So she was.
So I'm asking, what was I supposed to do? Just shut up at that point?
No.
Cause her listeners have asked me, will you just shut up?
No, you don't shut up. First thing you do, actually call her privately because this is what I would have done. I would have called her on the phone and say, hey, Candace, I found something. You might want to actually consider this after. If
we didn't call her, we asked her to come on. She said, I'm busy.
Okay, in that case, you go ahead and you say it. That's what you did, and that's fine. And you were unfairly attacked, but so was she. And all I care about right now is to get you guys to understand each other, okay? So there's no point to attack each other for doing the same thing, which is investigating the case that actually stinks, which it does. So one more thing I want to say about this. Candace is going to have, like, I don't know what she's going to say about Fort Huachuca or Mitch or anything ongoing, like, going forward. But she's allowed to make mistakes. And when you take on an investigation like this, imagine if Kennedy investigation was on the table right now.
No, but she didn't say she made a mistake. She's still saying that the head of security basically is covering up and is a liar and was there.
Well, no, she didn't say that. She says Mitch says that. And what she never said that. I watched every episode. What she said that Mitch is claiming this. Even in the episode, she said, listen, I can't say whether Mitch has good eye for faces.
No, that was earlier, not the new stuff last night. Hey, guys, bring me Harrison's list. I need to. We played it. You must have missed it. No, she's basically like, Harpool's been caught in lies, and you know why? If he's on the base, why is he giving us these fake alibis?
Okay, so let's.
She's even saying it's a fake alibi.
Okay, so let's say she's wrong. So what? She's wrong. What's the damage here? She's wrong. So. Okay, she's wrong about Harpool. She's wrong about Erica.
What's the damage? Her and her minions have attacked anybody saying this is wrong as if we got the call or we're not legitimate.
You really think that some minion trolls that attack you, me, and everyone in the world can somehow, you know, doubt your credibility, Alex Jones?
No, I'm not even worried about that. My point is...
No, she's wrong.
Is that... She was given information that this guy was a serious criminal, wife beater, everything.
Yes.
I mean, beat up every girlfriends, you name it.
Okay, let's.
With receipts, and she's still defending him.
Quick question. Can a wife beater scumbag of the earth still be right about something? Can, yes or no? Like statistically, yes or no? Yes, right? So I've had a crazy person from a mental asylum actually give me a clue that worked. So I would say 1%, yeah, he could be right.
Well, I'll go find a homeless person and babysit my kids.
But we do, Alex, we do agree that Mitch is a fraud. Candace disagrees. Can she have an investigation? Can she finish what she started?
An investigation out of what he pulls out of his ass?
Yeah, and what Candace needs to understand, and here's where I'm with you, what she needs to understand is that when you take on Charlie Kirk's case, and you say, I'm going to take you on a wild ride here, and we're going to explore every freaking tip that comes in, well, you have to be okay that Alex Jones might disagree and criticize you. And that's okay.
Well, that's another thing. They call disagreeing an attack.
Did you feel like you attacked her? No?
I mean, her minions attacked me when I just simply...
Her minions, not her, right?
Yeah, but she's promoting it. She's amplifying it.
Do you
I don't mind being attacked. Here's the deal. They're all threatening me and stuff and having their little celebrations. I don't get, I mean, all you're going to get me to do is just keep coming after you now.
So
I love this. Just get ready. And I mean, you know what? I knew it back in February. She did this whole thing where Kennedy's got a Mossad handler and this woman, he bought her a car, but she's not sure. She's had a dream and thinks it right at his confirmation that he's in the Epstein files. None of it was true. And I've searched through now. I've got people going back and listening to her past episodes and they're all at key points, political attack, every point of Trump's operation.
Okay.
You know, in Star Wars episode 4, where they pull up at the land crawler and all the Jawas are dead, he goes, I've never seen a sand people hit something this big. And he goes, and look at these blast points. Only Imperial stormtroopers are so precise. And look at these marching, like troops are marching. The point is, you look at it, and now I wasn't paying attention to her. Now I'm looking and I'm seeing that it's coordinated Imperial stormtroopers. I'm seeing the blast points. They know right where to hit. They know exactly what they're doing. And I'm seeing, and she's married to this British lord, and she's got this big bot farm, and they're scraping all the data. And then we know all the past attacks on Trump were with Obama were originated out of MI6, and the whole thing just goes zzz, zzz, zzz. And you'll say, oh, how do you know? Well, maybe they tried to recruit me into MI6. Maybe they took my star reporter. Maybe you don't know. Okay? So that's what I'm saying
is
you don't know about all this stuff, which I haven't revealed. So I know a lot more about those meetings with Candace Owens and her now her husband and Farmer and Paul Watson and all of them. So maybe I know a little too much.
Again, I can't wait to hear what you know. I can only tell you what I
know. Well, I mean, all I know is the royals like you. You ought to come meet with us. You ought to come to these parties. They're not so bad. You know, Nigel Farage is part of it. And all back at the time, and I was like, sayonara. I said, 1776. And I said, have a nice red coat life, Watson.
So now it becomes that you think that Candace Owens is actually bought. Is that?
No, she's married to a British lord. He's in all this speculation and black ops and operations. Everything's fine.
Is Candace Owens honest or not? Because I think she...
Do you have any idea how much the UK attacks the U.S.? You know the Democrats have used it as their main command base to attack Trump for 10 years.
I boycotted UK years ago. I don't even go there. I said, this is a country that I actually...
Yeah, it's orchestrating the Ukraine war.
Yeah, everything. We agree on UK. We agree
and
on
And I'm not
UK.
Saying Watson's bad. He just came to me and he goes, I'm a royalist now. And over the, we'd have a few conversations. Hey, it's not bad. Let's stop talking about the King of England. Let's talk about...
Wait, who said he's a royalist?
Watson joined him. My former star reporter.
Okay. So
he's the one with Candace and this lord them at these royal palace meetings all over the place.
Okay, so someone's
You don't understand.
No, I do understand.
UKIP, we put on the map. Farage used to come on the show like 18 years ago. He'd say, my God, UKIP wasn't getting traction. We were number one in the UK for streaming, bigger than the US on like Shoutcast. He said, no, half our converts are from your show. So, and I got Watson as a reporter. He was a great guy. I'm not saying he's bad. He's from the UK. So when he gets invited to the royal stuff and, you know, they all get use of all this land, all this stuff they do and all that stuff. And Paul's like, you know, I really kind of not really align with you anymore. I'm a royalist now. And it took him a few years. He finally said, yeah, I can't really work with you anymore. You're criticizing the royal family. He's the one with all them in these meetings and this lord. So I've already had them, not just through him. You know, when I went and covered Bilderberg there and the other times, they literally send MI6 to meet with me at the hotel. I had a crew that was there. They didn't even hide it. And they openly tried to recruit me right there. So okay, I know all about these people.
I believe you.
I've had the Russians try to recruit me. I've had the Chinese try to recruit me.
Well, because you are big and
I've had Jeff Bezos try to recruit me. I've had the Democrats. I've already been 100 times. I had Fox News tried to hire me.
The question is, what does that have to do with Candace Owens' sincerity? Do you believe one
question?
She's
prancing around in between Tennessee and you know, Alex, north of London on her little ponies with her little lord over there.
Alex,
and she needs to know I see through her.
You know I love you. One thing, okay? So if, as a journalist, I was given an access to royals, to Putin, to whatever, guess what? I'm effing going. Excuse my language. I will be the first one to circle, you know, mingle around the circles because
and that's why,
information.
And that's why I've refused all those meetings.
Why? That's information. Like, I don't care what people think as long as I can help people by getting the information.
You have to understand, if I go to those meetings, then people even claim I've been compromised. Like, I'm not trying to toot my horn. What?
No, you did that. You did tell me that yesterday, too, that I refused the meetings, which is great, honorable. But, again, you also refused the information, which you probably...
Well, no, it's okay. I mean, I got invited 10 years ago to go hunting with Putin. And I just said, you know, Nothing is put in my going. And then I got invited a bunch of those. I got invited official letterhead to Russia. I got invited this year to go have dinner with,
you should have
with Lavrov and all them, but I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But I also got invited. I mean, right before they sued me, they came to this huge high rise because they were telling me there's another thing I was going to do. And there's the DNC leadership. You know, it was all men, the Democrat lawyers, you know their names. And it was an off-record meeting, so I don't say the names. And they're just like, listen, we really like you. And we want you to work for us. It's going to be really great. You really should take this deal because you're going to get destroyed if you don't. And there was a meeting that was 5 minutes long. I said, no, thank you. And they said, you're making a big mistake. I already had Henry Kissinger try to hire me before that. I know how this stuff works. Now, so
get hired. Just find out what you need to
I'm
find
just
out,
saying, when I tell you that the MO clicks to an Obama Democrat operation out of the UK, maybe she doesn't even know. But the attack profile of Candace to take down Trump and TPUSA fits an Obama through the MI6 coordinates. I'm not saying it's 100%, but it fits the pattern. We'll be right back. If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We have a new product in at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force. Well, we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
I'm challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles, we've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future, we've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you, so now is the time to go to TheAlexJonesStore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping. shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
All right, Elizabeth Lane, I wanted to get you in here because you're from Georgia and you've been in a lot of the frontline combat. You showed me a lot of it. We can't even put on air. It's pretty amazing stuff. But you want to give a view on now Putin leaking conversations with Trump, what Zelensky's doing, your predictions there, the attempt 3 days ago to kill Putin with 90-plus drones attacking his house. But just bookends on the Candace Owens. I would love to be friends with Candace again. I would love to, you know, smoke the peace pipe. I just can't do it as long as she's still on this Mitch Snow tangent.
I understand. And I think, I hope Candace reaches out and you guys can, you know, bury the hatchet, because it cannot happen in independent media. We are dealing with MI6, CIA, Mossad, and the bot media in the mainstream, and we can't have you two fight. So this has to stop. Let's move on to Putin and Zelensky, another two little people that have changed the world. I don't know, for better or worse, but so this peace deal is going on. We hear from Trump that now we're going to have something, you know, we are moving forward, but we don't hear similar stuff from the Russian side, right? So Russians are like, well, we'll have a peace deal when you actually, you know, live up to what you promised, or give us at least something that we agreed that Russia is entitled to, which is what the land they took. The problem here is Zelensky wants guarantees that at first it was 50 years. So 50 years, the United States has to guarantee some kind of territorial integrity for Ukraine. Well, that's bogus. That's ridiculous. Of course, it's not going to happen, because what's the difference between United States guaranteeing Ukrainian territorial integrity for 50 years and NATO membership? Like, what is the difference? I mean, it's the same thing. So you're telling me like, oh yeah, I'll lend you $100 if you give me $100 first.
That's the original Russian red line.
Yeah, like that's we can't start negotiations like that. So Zelensky has to understand that he lost the war. I said the day this war started, I said that Ukraine is going to lose the war. Every sane person that has ever seen war and knows anything about military, they know that Russia was going to win. It was inevitable. Yet we funneled all this money to Ukraine for no good reason. Ukrainians didn't get it. You saw the golden toilets. So Ukrainians didn't get any of it.
Zelensky's buying billion-dollar ski resorts.
100%. So, and this person has the audacity to come and ask for more. What bothers me, though, is that European Union, for some reason, is very much on this Ukraine train still. And, you know, if you look at Macron and this leaders in the EU, they are ready to fight Russia and start another war, which I don't think that Trump wants anything to do with. But if they are successful, we're probably going to find ourselves in another war.
I agree. So how do you see this going? I see European defense stocks plunging for the first time in the year of negotiations. That shows me it actually is getting closer.
Absolutely. And, well, here's where I just don't understand what's really going on, other than the deep state pulling the strength in, you know, you talked about Bilderberg. All these leaders in Europe are former Bilderbergers. Macron is a former Bilderberger, right? So we talked about what Bilderberg is. It's like a vetting ground. They go in, they talk to these people. Okay, who's going to carry out our perspective out there? Who can we aid with money? Who can we bring in power? And that's how they get vetted. And then, you know, they put a bunch of money into this candidates like Macron to bring them on in power, and they carry out bankers and financial elite perspectives and what they want. And that's what we see in Europe right now, because you cannot possibly tell me that a leader in Germany who saw how we, Navy SEALs, blew up Nord Stream pipelines and doomed Germany, one of the biggest, the best economy in Europe, literally blew their economy up.
By the way, it's not just known by Sir Hirsch, but the SEAL community, they all know who did it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's preposterous.
I shouldn't name him, but one of the SEAL officers, who's a very good friend of mine, literally the week they did it, texted me, it was us. I'm like, is that a, you know, the secret? No, it's not. So, but you have German leadership that says, oh, that's okay. Oh, that's okay that our country just
What is
got
that? SEAL Team 10 is the main deep water demolition.
Six. SEAL Team 6.
The six?
Yeah, SEAL Team 6 is the lethal force.
Yeah, no, that's the assassination.
Yeah, the assassination.
No, but the deep water, look it up.
Yeah.
What I was told, it was different units, but they used the main Navy engineers as the cutout, so it's not a congressional oversight. Special operations is, but then they used SEAL Team 10 deep water demolition submarines for the operation. Look up SEAL Team 10. That's mainly deep water demolition. Check my memory, but go ahead.
Yeah, and then you have Germany that completely disregards the fact that their economy is in shambles because of our actions, and they are still attacking Russia. Russia, the same country that actually built the pipelines in the first place. And it's just crazy to me. So that's where we are, and people are wondering if we're going to have peace. I hope that, in a way, I want to say, I hope Russia doesn't accept the terms that's on the table right now, because we are going to find ourselves exactly where we are. And, you know, because what changes with this deal? Nothing, right? As I understand, they brought the 50 years down to 15 years. Now that's more doable, but I just don't understand why should the United States guarantee 15 years of territorial protection to Ukraine at all. I just don't get it. And also, the only country, and Putin said this years ago, the only country that can actually guarantee Ukraine territorial integrity is Russia. That's the only country that can actually guarantee Ukraine's safety. And let's talk about this conversation that got declassified between Putin and Bush, because Putin gets this terrible rep in the world that he's a dictator, he's an absolutely horrible, horrible person, and he should not be trusted, even though every single leader that we ever had, including Bill Clinton, says that Putin actually did exactly what he told us he would do. This is the guy that says something and actually follows up. So we, on the other hand, did not do what we promised we would do, and it started with NATO expansion. But what's very interesting is a couple of weeks ago, Washington put out this declassified document. It was a conversation between President Bush and Vladimir Putin. And in this conversation, it's very evident who's actually worried about nuclear strike in nuclear war, or let's say Iran's advancement in the nuclear game. Putin actually talks to Bush about how he's worried that Pakistan has a nuclear weapon.
By the way, I checked it. It's the original SEAL team from World War II, is Underwater Demolition Team 10, but still is assigned to the new SEAL Team 10 created in 2002 with a specialty. It's one of the only SEAL teams that has underwater submarine demolition and destruction. Underwater cable cutting, but anyways, I just want to check my memory.
Yeah, and then we have this conversation now where Putin actually is very worried about Pakistan, that Pakistan has a nuclear bomb, we know that, and he expressed his concerns with Bush and says, hey, would you mind like actually criticizing Pakistan, because we think that they are leaking secrets to countries like Iran, right? So you would think that Russia is such a big bad monster that if Iran gets a nuclear weapon against us, they would be so ecstatic, but that's not the case. Putin is sitting there with Bush saying, listen, Pakistan is a junta with a nuclear weapon. You got to do something about it. Please criticize it, you know, publicly.
Sure. In most of the war games, it's India and Pakistan that turned nuclear
absolutely
war.
Absolutely. And we know they sold the nuclear secrets
to
Libya.
We know.
And yeah.
We know under Russian war doctrine, Russia is the biggest country in the world. They don't want to expand. Alexander Solzhenitsyn,
absolutely,
these idiots always go, Alexander Solzhenitsyn is ashamed of you because you're not anti-Putin. Solzhenitsyn was admired by Putin, met with him a bunch, and developed the modern doctrine, more than Alexander Dugin, of let all these other countries go but get Ukraine and a few others. So what's funny is Putin is following Alexander Solzhenitsyn's plan from his later books, and these idiots don't even know it.
Absolutely. And, you know, can we be real for a second? Let's start, you know, when Tucker interviewed Vladimir Putin, everyone kept saying, I mean, it was a great interview, but
Putin, long history lesson.
Yeah, exactly. But why do you think he gave it?
Because people don't know that.
Exactly. So it's very important to start when this whole conflict in Ukraine actually started. And it didn't just start in Ukraine. It actually started in my birth country, too, in Georgia. And here's an interesting fact that people don't know. And it always gets like, you know, it's so underrated. Gorbachev makes a deal with the biggest liar in the world. Do you know who that is?
Sharonansi.
Bush Senior.
Yeah, but
Bush Senior in Beijing.
Sharonansi, or how you say his name?
Gorbachev.
No, but who's the guy under that made the deal? It was Gorbachev's handler.
Oh,
Sharonansi, or how you say his name?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what's his
name. Sounds like Nazi.
Yeah. It's I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
but,
he was there.
But he was promised by the biggest liar in the world.
Baker.
Bush Senior and Baker, but Bush Senior is kind of a psychopathic liar. He's a,
Baker made the deal, though.
Yeah.
Sharonansi, how do you say his name?
I
drive me crazy. I'm going from memory. Keep going.
Can someone Google that? So he gets promised that NATO would not advance. But here's an interesting thing that no one talks about. It's just not about just NATO advancement, okay? So the same time that Baker and Bush are making this deal with Gorbachev that, hey, why don't we, you know, dismantle Soviet Union and we dismantle the Berlin Wall and it's going to be like...
We're not going to move 1 inch east.
Exactly. That was the promise. And then they backed off. They said it never happened. Thank God we have...
Well, they said it on the news, but there was never a treaty.
Yeah,
and so
sure.
Really, Russia is using Ukraine to try to get that treaty.
Absolutely. But also, at the same time when this was happening, they sent CIA and MI6 in Georgia and in Ukraine trying to convince Georgians and Ukrainians that, listen, you guys have to be independent. I don't understand.
And the first thing was 888.
Yeah, absolutely. And you remember Shevardnadze. We talked about Edward Shevardnadze. Foreign minister of Soviet Union. So this guy was literal puppet of Baker's.
That's the guy. We're just talking about him.
Yes, that's the guy. So he, in his own memoirs, he admitted this close friendship with Baker, almost like a puppet type of relationship, right? So he admits that he was working directly under this influence of Baker. And he was like, well, Baker was helping me make Georgia independent republic again, whatever. Well, hold on for a second. How do you think Russians feel? They just got the promise that NATO would not advance. And all of a sudden
Well, let's put the map since 91 up of NATO expansion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Put that map up.
Slow crawl of at the right at the Russian.
No, but our audience gets that, and you're dead on. What I'm asking you is your warfare. You spent a year or more during the war covering it all.
Yeah.
How do you see this ending? Where do you see this going?
I don't think that they're gonna have a peace deal in the nearest future because Zelensky is pushing because his life literally depends on this. And if something happens and they actually make peace, we're going to have a huge problem because Zelensky might end up dead. Ukrainians are not going to forgive him any of this unless they somehow give him like asylum somewhere in England, I would say, because it was an English project in the beginning. You know this with Boris Johnson. So I don't think that we're going to have a peace deal anytime soon. I hope we do, but I don't think so. Then Russians will not give up any land at all. In fact, they will take entire Donbas.
Well, that's the problem is Ukraine's already been beaten for over a year and a half. Russia can advance much quicker.
Yeah,
it's building an ongoing, expanding Maginot Line. So what Victor Boot told me, and he's got a good sources, is if this continues too much longer, Russia's going to first surround there in the east of Ukraine the larger cities, like Kharkiv, and then give people 2 weeks to leave, or they're going to level the cities.
Yeah, that's one of the options. I don't think that Putin will go that far. You know, I had these conversations a lot that, you know, if anything, and if NATO actually gets involved, well, I think Trump will pull out before that ever happens. I don't think the U.S. is going to, in any shape and form, be involved in this. I think Trump is smart enough to do that. But if Europeans even attempt to go that far, I think we will end up with Oreshniks. Like, Putin is the guy who, by any means, will try to avoid nuclear...
Oh, he's the moderate.
Absolutely. He's absolutely...
So what type of Russians would take over if they were able to kill Putin in all these assassination attempts?
What was that, sorry?
What type of... Who would replace him? I don't know if it's even Medvedev, you know, has a big talk publicly, but
yeah,
I don't think that's who they... But we talk about Russian hardliners. I've seen the studies.
Yeah.
What type would we get if they kill Putin?
Oh, then you will get a hardliner. And that's not going to be fun at all. Putin is a very moderate person. I think he exercises...
No, I agree. So what's a hardliner look like now?
Hardliner looks like someone like me, for example. Like I always say, if I was Putin and I was in charge of Russia right now, I shouldn't say this, but England would be nuked out of their existence. I'm not joking.
Yeah, that's mad.
That.
You can't.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody does.
I know. But here's the thing, though. This is what you're going to get when you keep pushing. Because here's the option, Alex. You remember World War II? You remember World War II and 27 million that Russians lost?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the option is sizzle this war for another 8 years and lose another million of Russian people, or end it now with a rationing and make Europeans pay. What would you do as Alex Jones? What would you do? I know it sounds crazy, but what would you do? Kill your own million and sizzle
for... Yeah, but see, that's an... I'm not trying to be mean to you, but that's an emotional response.
It is, and that's what you're going to get. If
you understand every war game... As soon as even you can't hit one country, then everybody's going to hit you, and then everybody else in a Mexican standoff, India, Pakistan,
that's
China.
Good. We did
and
that
then the entire Earth, not just the Northern Hemisphere, has a nuclear winter, unlivable. 90% of the population dies. The public, while it's starving for 6 months, are like army ants that'll chew, you know, the chrome off an axle. You think World War Z looks scary at real humans in this. After 10 days, most become cannibals. Or commit suicide, 15 days, total psychotic mass murder. The nuclear reactors, 400 plus, all meltdown, each one worse than Chernobyl. Total meltdown, service the Earth unlivable.
You know, this is
probably the end of the species.
This is all.
So here's that's why it's all been war game. You can't have a nuclear war. You can't have limited, Europe said we may sneak attack Russia with nukes. And so Putin said, if I see a major...
Well, he said
you can shoot a few missiles in. But he said, if we see a large aeronautical attack, we have to expect it's a sneak attack to take out our missiles. So we've got to go to full war. That is, we're already 1 minute to midnight.
But
we're already right there.
You're forgetting that just a few years ago, it was Liz Truss, shortest prime minister of England, that said, if necessary, I'm going to nuke Russia or something like...
No, I understand the rhetoric of the British. But what I'm telling you is... In all these simulations, they show ICBMs, the real attacks, or the intermediate missiles, the hypersonic missiles on the borders, and the submarines. What I'm saying is that 10 minutes after this starts, in every war game, it goes total. So it's mass total suicide. So you can't say, I saw the British defense minister last week said, you're going to have to fight like World War II. The Russian leaders, the German leader said it. I get the rhetoric.
Yeah.
But I'm saying...
I'm telling you, Russia's not going to fight like World War II. They are not going to lose another 27 million. If NATO...
No, they're going to lose a lot more than that because everybody else is.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that.
World War II is a completely different thing. It's conventional.
Yeah. So
Operation Barbarossa is a whole other subject. Stalingrad, all that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about everybody dead.
Why? Russia has a rationing. I don't think that it will ever go to nuclear war. I don't think...
Wait a minute. You just said nuke London.
Well, that's me. I mean, I was talking about myself that if I had been in Russian shoes right now, knowing what has been done to my country.
Well, it's a good thing you're not the leader of Russia.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, what I'm saying is, though, it's not moderate by Putin. It's sane.
It's sane.
There is no, why is it called mad? Mutually assured destruction.
Agreed.
You've got to be mad to do it.
Agreed.
Okay, so I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying.
No, I know.
No, I mean, I get, look. Medvedev plays bad cop because people need to understand the danger, and Putin plays a good cop. My point is, it is Europe, it is the West that believes it could happen. Did you ever see Sean Penn, who I had dinner with, he's literally mentally retarded, say, well, we shouldn't have nukes off the table, let's go ahead and hit Russia. Did you see 2 years ago, NATO said we might just strike Russia first with nukes?
Yeah.
So that is very escalatory.
That's
so they should all be in. They should all be in padded rooms for that.
100%. And they should be all gone from, their positions right now. But that's why I said, we hear this rhetoric all the time. Are we going to, preemptively nuke Russia? Are we going to do this? What do you think Putin thinks when he sits there and listens to this shit? Like, he said it in one of the interviews.
He called the EU leaders little piglets.
Yeah.
None of the leaders of Europe have ever been in the military. Almost none have kids. They're all a bunch of pedophiles and devil worshippers.
Agreed.
Because any real military, when they ask, Obama asked the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to attack Russia and Syria 11 years ago, and they went and briefed him. They said, sir, here's the doctrine. We'll do that. They'll hit us. It'll go to a nuclear war in a week. Okay, so he said, give us a order for nuclear war. Because we can, he goes, some will survive in the bunkers. It'll kill 90% of the world in the first couple months. And they said, we're ready for the war. And they said, no. Member Biden said, we can't send Abrams tanks and F-16s. That leads to World War III. Because on the, about the Rand Corporation escalation, threat escalation ladder. It goes right there real quick. We're already going up the ladder right now.
So again,
Trump knows that, is trying to end that.
I know, but Trump is up against a very, very powerful deep state, and they are going to try to trick him into different, conflicts. You see this push and pull with Russia, right? Trump one day comes out and says, well, Vladimir Putin and I had a great conversation, and next I'm very mad about Putin. But in reality,
the thing is, Zelensky is a NATO puppet. They won't give up anything.
No, they won't. They won't. So where does that leave you? Where does that leave you? So Vladimir Putin said something very interesting, which I kind of zeroed out on because I know he meant it. He said, if, excuse my language, shit hits the fan, well, if there's going to be a world without Russia, why do I need that kind of world? And he's right. Like, there will not be a world without Russia. So this was after...
The globalists are willing to be... They've got a hand grenade ready to pull. Yes. Russia has to say the same thing.
Yes, that's what he's saying.
It's like a Mexican standoff.
Absolutely. And Europe is not doing us any favors at all. Instead of de-escalating, they are dragging entire Europe, except for two people. And you know Orban, right? You know
him. Viktor Orban.
Yeah, Viktor Orban, how hard he's working. Hungary.
And Fico, they shot him.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you want a funny story about that most people don't know? So when Fico got shot, this is time where they think that they can conduct a revolution in Georgia, friendly country to Ukraine. So they are going full on with this, you know, USAID and all this stuff. This is before Trump cut the USAID. And they are funding these NGOs there in the streets to conduct a revolution in Georgia. And at the same time, Georgian Prime Minister has a meeting with one of the officials from EU. You know what they say? So they're asking Georgians to open another front on Russia, which means that Georgia would not exist anymore. Just so you guys know, it's only 3 million, like, country of 3 million people. So if Georgia even attempted to do that, Georgians would be gone. So talking about ethnic cleansing, right? So Georgia would be ethnically cleansed in a second. So they tell him that. And of course, he's not crazy. So he says, what guarantees do I have? Like, what are you talking? Like, what guarantees do I have that I'm going to survive? And they... It was the ambassador of the United States, as I know, as he said it. She turns around and says, well, what guarantees are you talking about? There's a war in the region.
No, no, I'm delusional. Like, it's worse. They're trying to use Romania and others, too, to start the war.
Yes.
So even if we end this Ukraine thing, NATO is going to try to activate what countries? Georgia,
for sure. I mean, they will go to Serbia. They can't do anything there, but, you know, they will try at least. And the important thing that I wanted to say is, they told Georgian Prime Minister, this is documented, it's out there. He came out and told this to press. Remember what happened to Fico. What is that? Like, that's a threat.
Yeah, we pump four bullets in him.
Yes.
And we'll kill you too.
Yes, we'll kill you too. That's what they tried to do, you know, when Georgia refused. So this is the force that Trump is against.
Yeah, and here's my deal. I don't lionize Russia, any of this. NATO brags, Victoria Nuland, they started this.
Yes.
Europe's collapsing. They say our business plan is defeating Russia. Even if they could, that's immoral. It's not going to happen. Russia's won. It's delusional. It is crazy.
I agree. Alex, what
would... And Ursula von der Leyen, I guarantee you, doesn't know how to load a rifle. But she's literally the head of the EU dictatorship, bragging how they're going to crush the Russians. Lady, you got your ass handed to you. But the problem is they're cornered, so what do they do?
Well, here's the thing. Like, you know, if you were in Russian shoes, I always say that you have to understand how they feel, right? So not only NATO is advancing, people completely misunderstand what went down in Ukraine with the revolution with Yanukovych, right, when he was ousted. And Victoria Nuland was picking the cabinet for the U.S. of who needs to lead Ukraine, right? So here's an important part. It's not just NATO. EU played a huge role, too. Because what happened with Yanukovych...
Now, what's the political arm? Same thing.
Yeah, but EU... try to get their, you know, deal through versus like, so the deal was economic deal, right? So they're talking to Ukraine, Yanukovych, and they're saying, well, you should trade with us. And, but part of this, you know, free trade is that you have to absolutely cut your ties with Russia. And this is coming from Polyansky. I just interviewed him. He was part of these meetings. And Yanukovych did not quite read the documents when this happened. Like, he did not finish the reading the documents. You know this all well, because what happens when they want to pass something, you know, that doesn't really benefit Americans in Congress? They bury it under thousands of documents, right? So before you get at the end, like, most people don't even read it. So it gets passed. That's what happened here. Yanukovych didn't read the document in its full, like, you know, the entire...
We're almost out of time.
Yeah, so... It ended up that, you know, he realized at the end that he was being duped by EU. So he turned around and he said, no, we are going to do this deal with Russians and we are going to abandon EU ambitions, right? This is where they use this rhetoric that Yanukovych is absolutely living.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're trying to sell the audience. You're doing a great job, but Everybody knows NATO started the fight.
Yeah.
Everybody
knows that. Where everything happens.
Elizabeth Lane, very interesting. ElizabethLane.co. And they can find you on X at, what is that? What's that say? I am Elizabeth. There is on X. All right. Well, great job. Can't wait to see the interview you shot with me yesterday. When's that coming out?
It will be out in a week.
All right. You have done well, Lord Vader.
Our medical grade USP Ultra Methylene Blue, exclusively at TheAlexShowStore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at TheAlexShowStore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexShowStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost 70 pounds at this point. Mm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, cause this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at TheAlexShowStore.com and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide. Absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit. He was right about every step of the way.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.